place in the near future. Now nearly 60% thinks that way. CNN radio polling director Keating Holland says the fatal bombings in London have made Americans feel less secure.
The number of Americans who were worried that a family member or they themselves will become a victim of a terrorism attack has gone from 38% in June to 47% now.
John Lawrence, CNN Radio.
Most Americans appear to approve of John Roberts, the first Supreme Court nominee by President Bush. CNN Radio polling director Keating Holland.
Many Americans are still not familiar with him, but 59% believe that the Senate should vote to confirm Roberts as the next Supreme Court justice. 22% say no, 19% say they're unsure.
Six-party talks got underway Tuesday in Beijing. The topic is the nuclear weapons program in North Korea. The mother of Natalie Holloway announced Monday in Aruba they're offering a $1 million reward for the safe return of her daughter. This is CNN Radio News.
I'm a hypocrite. No, I'm not a vegetarian that wears leather shoes. You see, I used to smoke pot, and when I found pot in my kid's room, I confronted him about it. It would have been easier to look the other way and not feel like a hypocrite, but I'm his dad, and he's not allowed to smoke pot, period. It might be hard, but to help your kid with their problem, first you have to get over yours.
Action. The anti-drug.
Hypocritical? Yeah, that's me.
For more information, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800, sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
William Shatner here at the rental car pickup. Excuse me, miss, how did you choose this car?
I shopped around for the best prices.
Well, now you can do that on Priceline. Shop and compare before you buy. Now you can actually select the company, car type, or say you want a minivan.
Oh, nice. I'm not even married, and you're telling me to get a minivan? You're cruel.
The new all-in-one Priceline. Shop, compare, save. Find great deals on last-minute summer rental cars. Go to Priceline.com today.
A report from the inspectors general of both the State Department and the Pentagon is highly critical of the training of Iraqi police, CNN Radio's Jamie McIntyre.
The recruitment and vetting procedures are faulty. It says that too many recruits are, quote, marginally literate. Some of them show up for training with criminal records or physical handicaps, and some are actually insurgents who are infiltrating the police force.
An American, Christy Miller, died in the Egyptian explosions. Her father, Anthony Miller, says Christy was a great child and someone 27 years old shouldn't be dying.
Christy was a wonderful girl, wonderful, just, you know, very happy all the time. She was outstanding college graduate and full of life, full of energy, and way, way too young to leave me now.
Actress Jane Fonda says she's planning a cross-country tour next year in which she'll call for an end to the war in Iraq. This is news from CNN Radio. After a four-week advance by the three major averages, the Monday market seemed to be in a show-me mode. Susan Lasovich has details.
Nearly a third of the companies that make up the S&P 500 report quarterly profits this week. Stocks traded tepidly much of the session until oil prices reversed course and started inching back up. Dow component American Express came in better than expected with its earnings. Meanwhile, existing home sales climbed to a new record high, and home prices in June jumped 15%, their biggest monthly hike in 25 years. By closing bell, the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P closed near their session lows. Susan Lasovich, CNN Radio, New York.
And those existing home sales hit a new record. June housing prices showed their biggest increase in a quarter century. The real estate market remained even hotter than it had been expected on Wall Street. I'm Lee Guerin. This is the CNN Radio Network.
Randy Rhodes,
loud and west,
on the Mike 92.1.
The only way to polish our image abroad, because we keep on killing the people to whom we'd like to be appealing, that we have a shiny American pro-democracy, pro-facts, pro-truth, pro-checks and balances kind of an image, and you haven't really modeled it very well. Convince the rest of the world that we're really Canada.
Randy Rhodes, weekdays at 5 on the Mike 92.1 and the Mike921.com.
A public service message from Call to Recycle.
Hi, this is Richard Karn. If you've got an old cell phone laying around the house, recycle it. It's easy, it's free, best of all, it's good for the environment. Learn more at calltorecycle.com. That's call, the number two, recycle.com. Or call toll free at 877-2-RECYCLE. Please, answer the call to recycle.
Loose cannon, a maverick, an outspoken fire breather. But most of all, he's a truth seeker. This is Mike Malloy on the Mike 92.1.
Special welcome to WSMB in New Orleans, the Big Easy. Welcome to WSMB. Welcome aboard to Air America's growing network. We have some torture memo Gonzalez for you tonight and some simple Scotty quacking from today, and we'll be jumping into the Wayback Machine to check out what he was saying in 2003. About Tradergate as well. That's simple Scotty McClellan. All in all, a thoroughly enraging and depressing program tonight, so we just warn you in advance it might be best to switch over to the Home Shopping Network on television and just blow tonight's program off. Huh? You think? No? You hear? You're queer? Get used to it, right? No, I know what you mean. To launch the program tonight, how about a fable? This is from Bloggerheads in the United Kingdom, The Boy Who Cried Wolf. This is great. Okay, kick back, and let me share with you a fable. Okay? For those of you who are drinking wine or beer or something harder, pour yourself another one. If you're smoking something, fire it up. Here we go. There was once a shepherd boy who was bored as he sat on the hillside watching the village sheep. To amuse himself, he took a great breath and then sang out, "Wolf! Wolf! The wolf is chasing the sheep!" The villagers came running up the hill to help the boy drive the wolf away. But when they arrived at the top of the hill, they found no wolf. The boy laughed at the sight of their angry faces. "Don't cry wolf, shepherd boy," said the villagers, "when there's no wolf." From here, the story looked like it would end quite badly for the shepherd boy, and he certainly would have come to a sticky end were it not for a sudden stroke of genius. He looked to his sheep, and then he looked to the flock of villagers who had come running so readily to his aid. He considered the crook in his hand and the power he wielded with it. He then held that crook aloft and pointed his finger at the nearest villager. "Are you seriously questioning the existence of wolves?" he cried. The villager began, "But there are no wolves here." "You see," said the boy, "you see. He said it himself. This man would have you think that wolves simply do not exist. Surely you all recall that wolves once attacked a nearby village." Indeed they did. And there was a sudden murmuring in the crowd. "Innocent blood was spilled that day. Such horrendous attacks by these animals must not happen again." The crowd murmured once more as they looked fearfully toward the dark forest nearby. The shepherd boy took this as his cue. He pointed, "In that forest! They plot and plan our demise, and they will not be happy until we are all dead!" And here again he cast an accusing finger at the nearest villager and raised his voice to say, "And yet here you are denying that they exist at all. Perhaps you are in league with the wolves?" The crowd suddenly turned on the villager, who ran in fright. "You see," cried the shepherd boy, "the enemy walks among us." And from that moment on, the shepherd boy found himself in charge of a much larger flock. He found that he could cry wolf as often as he liked, and the villagers would always come running. He also discovered that when he lost the occasional sheep through his own negligence, he could cry wolf again to divert attention away from the loss, or even blame the loss on the wolves. Before too long, he had convinced the villagers that an even greater danger lay beyond the dark woods. Another village, on the far side of the woods was run by a chief who ruled with an iron hand. He loved to terrorize his own people, and he wore a cloak of a wolf to instill fear in the hearts of his enemies. The shepherd boy spoke eloquently of the sheer evil required to do such a thing. He wears the cloak of a wolf! Eventually, he convinced his willing flock to attack that village. There was great bloodshed, but everyone agreed that it was a price worth paying to rid the world of the growing wolf threat, and the shepherd boy was awarded a great bounty. Now, it is common knowledge that wolves can sense weakness in their prey, and after the slaughter in the second village, they soon set upon that village and feasted upon the dead and the dying. In time, this pack of wolves grew in number and grew bolder in their approach. By the following summer, the wolves had come beyond the fields for the first time in living memory and attacked the shepherd boy's village. There was much crying and weeping and gnashing of teeth, but nobody blamed the shepherd boy. They all considered the attack on the village on the far side of the dark woods to be a grand and necessary venture. They were convinced that the attack had to proceed in order to defeat the wolves, and to withdraw their soldiers now would surely make the wolves even bolder. Sadly, they were all too correct on that second point. The shepherd boy had created an even greater danger, and he knew it. He also knew that the only way he could escape the wrath of the villagers would be to continue as before. He cast his eyes on the horizon and wondered how long he should wait before crying, "Wolf! Wolf!" yet again. And indeed, if he would even have to bother crying wolf at all. Thanks to Manic, who posted that about a week ago at Bloggerheads in the UK. My goodness. Certainly is a much better version than the original, huh? Don't you think? The boy who cried wolf. The mayor of London. Let me rephrase. London's outspoken mayor. Said last week, as a matter of fact, that the terrorist attacks in London 2 weeks ago, not the duds that failed to go off here recently, but the terrorist attack 2 weeks ago, may have been a reaction to decades of misguided Western policies driven by the need for oil. Can you believe this? Someone who speaks English quite well, thank you, saying such a thing. Ken Livingstone went even further, criticizing U.S. and British action since early in the 20th century. He offered a sweeping indictment of Western policy from the end of World War I through the current treatment of prisoners at Guantanamo. He said, quote, "I think you've just had 80 years of Western intervention into predominantly Arab lands because of the Western need for oil. We've propped up unsavory governments. We've overthrown ones we didn't consider sympathetic." Now, Livingston said he had no sympathy for the bombers, and he condemned all violence, but he contended that fear of losing oil supplies is what motivated Western governments to intervene in the Middle East time and time again. Livingstone said, "If at the end of the First World War we had done what we promised the Arabs, which was to let them be free and have their own governments and kept out of Arab affairs and just bought their oil, rather than feeling we had to control it, I suspect this wouldn't have arisen." He also took aim at U.S. officials for having in the 1980s recruited and trained bin Laden, taught him how to kill, how to make bombs, and then set him off to kill the Russians and drive them out of Afghanistan. He also criticized America's early embrace of Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein after he ascended to the presidency in 1979. Now, Livingstone, condemned, quote, "those governments which use indiscriminate slaughter to advance their foreign policy, as we have seen occasionally with the Israeli government, bombing areas from which a terrorist group will have come, irrespective of the casualties it inflicts, women, children, and men." And then he added, "under foreign occupation and denied the right to vote, denied the right to run your own affairs, often denied the right to work for three generations, I suspect that if it had happened here in England, we would have produced a lot of suicide bombers ourselves.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1. Radio for the disillusioned and disenfranchised.
I'm Mike Rowe. My life's a mess.
You're going to get really mucky and ucky.
Did you say mucky and ucky?
Yeah.
It's like a giant mixing bowl from hell.
But that is just the way I like it.
That is a very unique smell.
Because I'm the host of Dirty Jobs, Discovery's new series that salutes the unsung heroes who get their hands dirty every day.
You're going to get a little taste of what it's like to be a septic tank technician.
Dirty Jobs.
Gosh, thanks a little.
I'm sure it's not you.
Premieres tomorrow at 9 on the Discovery Channel.
Whatever you're doing this summer,
Dad, throw the ball!
If your back's killing you, relief is in sight. Get relief now and keep moving with Icy Hot Back Patch. Icy Hot hits it where it hurts. Gets icy first to dull the pain, then hot to relax it away. Stays put, putting medicine right where you want it for hours of pain relief. It's going to be a long, hot summer. Icy Hot's here to help. Keeps them in the car, too. The Icy Hot Back Patch. Relief that moves with you. Use as directed.
The Al Franken Show, proving the truth is entertaining.
They swore up and down he's not involved. But now it turns out he was. He told Matt Cooper.
There's a report that no one's talked to Rowe. They think it's not appropriate.
You know what that sounds like?
What?
It sounds like a dysfunctional family.
They're all on edge health around Carl. Carl's the alcoholic. And we're just not going to talk to him.
The Al Franken Show, weekdays at 11 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, streaming at themike921.com.
We actually have Future Mark on line one.
Oh, Future Mark, that guy's great. Put him through.
Hey, buddy, what's
hey,
up?
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Just checking in, man. I told you Cincinnati would be good. I'm sorry I didn't tell you about the flu you were going to get.
Yeah, thanks, man. When does this go away?
Friday, I promise.
Hey, what's that noise, man?
Oh, I'm sorry. The news is on.
Well, can't you just turn it off? We're kind of having a conversation here.
Actually, no, I can't. The news is always on now, or should I say infoblasts are always on. All the media outlets now have these info cannons, and they fire nanorobot swarms of data in the air, and you just kind of breathe them.
Wait, whoa. Let me see if I get this right. So robots fly into your mouth with the news?
Yeah, mouth, nose, ear canal, sometimes the other orifice, which is strangely pleasant sometimes.
Well, isn't that annoying?
Isn't what annoying?
Getting the news that way.
Is that what we've been talking about? I'm sorry, man. My attention span's taken a real beating since this technology came out in 2030, and that's what caused the, sorry, man. I forgot what we were talking about again. Ow! Hey, what? Hey! I just got stung by a story on a runaway bride.
So they sting you too, the nanobots?
No, they're different types. The earlier news carriers were actual insects.
Oh.
I just got stung by an info bee. Fox created those. They were ticks, mosquitoes. What were we talking about?
News, man, news. So what kind of news do you get in 2050?
Well, there are about 250,000 news outlets, most of them inhalables. Mm. You know, crime blotters, sports, weather, porn. But now they're all mixed together. Actually, as we speak, I'm inhaling the New York Times Financial Lesbian Action Report.
Oh.
It really holds your attention for the 3 seconds it's on. I got to invest in that Dolphin Sports League.
All right, so I guess there's a Dolphin Sports League now.
Oh, yeah, Dolphin Sports Porn, Monkey Sports Porn, Giraffe Ball Porn.
Oh.
Hold on, man. There's a Michael Jackson Bolton that comes in every 3 minutes. Busted again?
He's still around?
Yeah, but he's fondling clones now. So now we're in this, like, gray zone as far as the ethical thing goes. I mean, we all use the pleasure clones. It's no secret. Really, how old is any clone? A couple weeks old, maybe.
Well, that's kind of creeping me out, buddy.
Mark, hey, how's it going, man?
What?
There's something I was going to tell you. I sent myself a brain mail. Hold on. Tell Mark to start carrying hand sanitizer. Lots of it.
Why?
You know, it wouldn't be fair to tell you why, because I know how you are, but I guess it wouldn't be fair of me not to tell you.
Yeah, that does worry me. How much hand sanitizer?
Well, if they've got it in a drum, buy that. I gotta go. Judy Woodruff Gone Wild is on.
Really?
Shake it, Judy. Yeah!
92.1. Forward thinking, just like Madison. Now, more progressive talk from the mic, 92.1.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, before we get to the sound that we have for you from this whole stable full of freaks, just unbelievable stuff that is starting to bubble to the surface. It's sort of like when there's too many bacteria in the sump hole underneath the house, you know. But before we get to that. If you followed it over the weekend, the Center for Constitutional Rights on Friday has taken to task the Bush administration's insistence on blocking the release of further photos and videos depicting torture at Abu Ghraib. Now, a year ago, the Center for Constitutional Rights, along with the ACLU, Physicians for Human Rights, Veterans for Common Sense, and Veterans for Peace, all those organizations filed papers with the U.S. District Court alleging that the Department of Defense and other government agencies were illegally withholding records concerning the abuse of prisoners being held by the U.S. military in Abu Ghraib. Now, I'm not going to get into this because I can't. I can't handle it, okay? This is finally a topic that your humble and obedient servant here simply cannot handle. I will just say that the tapes, the videos, the photographs allegedly are beyond belief. Barbara Olshansky, who's deputy legal director of the Center for Constitutional Rights, stated, quote, "The public must be informed of what is being done in our name," end quote. Now, if you listen to Randy's program today, she got into this a little bit, and again, I simply do not have the stomach for it. I can't do it. But apparently, there are videotapes where families, moms and dads and children, were picked up, brought in, and the children were raped in front of the parents in order to make the parents talk. Children being raped. Now, I don't know if the rape was committed by American soldiers or Iraqi soldiers. I can't believe the American soldiers. I can't even go there. Iraqi soldiers, it's hard for me to believe that Iraqi soldiers, I don't care if they're Shia or Sunni or Druids, it doesn't make any difference. I cannot believe that Iraqi soldiers would rape children in front of the parents who have been dragged in for testimony. Children who were mistreated in a way that your mind and my mind cannot encompass. We can't. Do I have a right to speak for you? No, I don't. But I know that you are a relatively normal human being, just like I am a relatively normal human being. And you and I could not deal with what these photographs and videotapes apparently show. Now, the Bush administration is destroying our country. The Bush administration is destroying our country. It's trying to kill us all. It's trying to kill the entire world, and it has to be removed from office. Peacefully and legally, we hope. If you want to know about these videotapes and photographs, you can go to White Rose Society and download Randy's show from today. I believe it's there. Isn't Randy's show put up there? I think it is. Or you can do your own Google searches or, what is it, dog pile search? Use some of these search engines. You can find it yourself. I just wanted to mention that for those of you who might have thought, well, Jesus, is there any limit to what Malloy will talk about? Yes, and this is it. Now, if you read the Times yesterday, Frank Rich's column, he was talking about the 12-hour gap between the time the investigation began into what traitor in the Bush crime family revealed Valerie Plame's name and when the White House started preserving documents related to that investigation. It was up to Alberto it was not up to Alberto to do the notifying. He was Bush's legal advisor at the time, I guess. It was up to that psychopathic fake Christian Ashcroft. But as Rich wrote yesterday, as White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez was the one first notified that the here's a break. I'll do it when we come back. But as you know, I'm sure you all have read Frank Rich's column from yesterday. If you haven't, go to the New York Times website and pull it off real quick, because that's going to lead us into these sound bites, all right? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1. Progressive Talk for a progressive town.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. By nominating John Roberts to the Supreme Court, the White House thought it could pull another fast one on the American people. After all, Roberts can at least pass as a moderate. But real questions have emerged about his record on human rights, abortion, big business, and the environment. Republicans have gotten worried and started saying that Roberts should blow off serious questions that will come up during confirmation hearings. Republican Senator Orrin Hatch even compared John Roberts to Jesus, saying that questioning Roberts is like, quote-unquote, trying to undermine Jesus Christ. But Democratic senators should not back down. They should insist on complete answers from Roberts. They should demand internal documents that spell out Roberts' own views on issues like abortion and human rights. Let's put the pressure on Roberts to prove he can do a fair job. To read more on the Roberts nomination, visit MotherJones.com. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Green Light on the Environment, brought to you by Cliff Bar. I'm Rachel Maddow. Harry Potter goes green in Canada. Canadian publisher Raincoast Books has printed the new Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince on 100% recycled paper. That's unlike the American version from Scholastic. Environmentalists hope Americans are ordering the Raincoast Books version online, even though it costs a little more. The green publishing movement is growing in the United States, though. More than 85 publishers in America are now using only recycled paper.
Did you know there's a delicious energy bar that's certified organic? It's called Cliff Bar, with the rock climber on the package. Cliff Bar is made with whole grains and real fruit and contains no trans fats or hydrogenated oils. Cliff Bar, the company, is part of a growing community of people and companies dedicated to leaving a lighter footprint on the planet. Visit cliffbar.com and learn about this small group of people working to create a better energy bar and a more healthful environment.
The Al Franken Show, Catherine and Al, America's answer to the lying liars, here on the Mike 92.1.
It's time for us to go way out west and talk to David Sirota,
the sexist sexawonk from way out west. Now, our inspector, what's he battling with, Hodgkins?
Hodgkins, that's right.
He's trying to do an end around on the Senate bill.
Right, right. Well, there's the prospects are dimming for a Senate, regular Senate vote on the bill to loosen the Bush administration's restrictions on...
Why is that? It seems like there's an easy majority in the Senate?
Well, I think it has to do with the fact that Bush has issued a veto threat. So the idea is, you know, if you pass it, great, you pass it. But if he's planning to veto it, then why waste the time and debate it? I guess that's the rationale. I'm not saying that's the right rationale. But
right.
Spector yesterday threatened to basically circumvent all this by attaching his bill to an appropriations bill for the Department of Health and Human Services. He said, I don't want to put it on an appropriations bill, but we've waited long enough. It's a fallback position, but it's a position that senators can use when the leadership isn't basically playing ball. He is the lead sponsor, and he has basically been saying since he got sick that the fact that he is sick has made him even more adamant about getting this passed.
Shouldn't they be for an up or down vote on one of these kind of things? isn't that the sort of the mantra that we kept hearing during the debate on the filibuster? Let's put it to an up or down vote. I mean, even so, it gets vetoed, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, up or down votes only come on things that the Republican Party wants an up or down vote on.
Yeah. Well, you mean the White House does. Because
right,
this Congress is just basically
a rubber stamp.
A rubber stamp for this White House.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
The president's spokesperson, Puffy McMoonface, says over and over that I wasn't going to comment on an ongoing investigation. And here in 2003, he said, I've made it very clear it was a ridiculous suggestion in the first place that Karl Rove was involved. I've said that it's not true, and I've spoken with Karl Rove. That's weird.
Stephanie Miller.
That would seem like he would be not just commenting, but clearing someone.
Yeah. Weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
I'm sitting on a red velvet stool wearing a yellow bowler hat and holding a banana. All right? Oh, yeah, and I'm wearing a leash. A red velvet curtain opens and 200 vacant-eyed fat people sneer at me and tap the glass, even though the sign clearly says, please don't tap the glass. I hear a barker's voice. Come on, come all, step right up and gaze upon Mark, the lovable radio freak. All the way from the wilds of New Mexico, this bizarre man-diva will astound you. Watch him battle to the death with hostile email. Watch him perform an amazing facsimile of radio talk show with teases and hard outs. You'll swear it's real. Watch Mark alienate his own kind by being too funny. Watch Mark bash organized religion and their phony gods. You won't want to miss Mark as he self-destructs with liberal guilt. His heartbreaking meltdowns will move you to tears. And don't forget his diet. You will witness this weight-conscious wonder eat carrots and kale raw. Then watch him shove chocolate cake into his mouth as fast as he can eat it. If there's any sitting within arm's length, you will hear Mark plug as many appearances at comedy clubs nationwide as often as 3 times an hour. 5 minutes with Mark and you'll want to take him home. Come on, Mark, do a little dance for the nice people. So I get up and dance a little hornpipe. And then hold out my yellow bowler. The fat people fill it with rocks and chewed gum. So I throw my poop at them. I woke up and my bed was filled with bearded ladies. And that part was true. Not really.
Madison, you're on the mic.
It's great to have Progressive Talk in Madison. Thanks.
Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic. 92.1.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. You know, when was it 2 years ago that Bush said of the outing of Valerie Plame something to the effect he didn't know if they were going to find out who it really was? And now, if there's any justice, and there may not be, in Bush's America, justice is very difficult to find. Truth is impossible to find. But if there is any justice left in this country, people like Karl Rove and Scooter Libby and who else? Gonzalez and Andrew Card and Karen Hughes and Condoleezza Rice and Scott McClellan and Ari Fleischer and Stephen Hadley and John Bolton and all of these people, every single one of these people, to greater or lesser degrees, are involved in this. In the utter destruction of American law. Just complete disregard and absolute destruction. And the hubris that's involved here. Karen Hughes got confirmed, didn't she, over the weekend, to be Undersecretary of Lies to the Arab World or something. Gonzalez got promoted from being Bush's consigliere to being the Attorney General. They dragged the death squad organizer, Negroponte, back from the work he truly enjoys. That's organizing people's murders, this time in Iraq, and made him the head of the National Security Service. They're trying to get Bolton, who assisted, along with John Roberts, the new Supreme Court nominee, both of them assisted in destroying representative government by preventing the recount in Florida from proving that Bush lost, on and on and on. They take a convicted criminal like Elliot Abrams and stick him down in the bowels of the White House someplace to do his evil work. John Poindexter is flooding the airwaves here and abroad with lies and propaganda. Bolton is feeding, or was feeding until she got locked up, Judith Miller, all sorts of lies that she can weave into her narrative that's also being provided by, what's his name, who was the Iraqi, who is now the oil minister, the convicted felon, Shalabi, Ahmad Shalabi. It's just a nest of rats and vermin and scum that reaches into newspapers and television networks and government and Department of State and Defense and Interior and White House counsels and justice. My God, have you ever seen anything like this? Then they toss out the Presidential Freedom Medals to known liars and war criminals. I've never seen anything like this. It's astonishing. And, you know, Kathy and I were talking over the weekend, before we get to the sound, just about what was the point that you brought up, Kathy, about, you know, all these little fine points that are totally irrelevant to the bigger picture.
No, it's just astonishing that Frank Rich is one of the few that seems to sort of get it in a big picture way. Everyone else is parsing statements in a way that would have made Mike McCurdy proud back in the Clinton days. But about how the larger issue that everyone loses sight of is that the Rove, what was Rove's motive? What was Scooter Libby or Moon Pie's motive? I mean, what were the reasons that they were doing this? And it was pure vindictive revenge against Joe Wilson, to bully his wife, to pick on his wife, and to expose covert agents to God knows what kind of risks in the field, and to lessen the veracity of our intelligence, the ability that we're going to be able to have to gather intelligence from assets overseas in the future, all for just a little bit of revenge against Joe Wilson telling the truth about Bush's illegal intentions to lie us into a war with Iraq over false claims of uranium from Niger, you know, that trumped up.
So your point is
the bigger issue.
Yeah, they're trying to spin it now so that people will pay attention to these little minute details and say, well, if it happened at 10 o'clock and somebody's saying 12 o'clock,
right,
then that means it didn't happen at all.
And was she really classified? And was she a covert agent?
Right.
Was it, you know, it's like, what covert mean?
Just like Pat Roberts said over the weekend, that he knows that Valerie Plame drove to work at the CIA every day, indicating that she was a secretary or a desk jockey, when in fact, it really doesn't matter what her job was. The fact that they outed a CIA agent is against the law.
And not only that, it's why they did it. I mean, the motive to me is the most important thing. What was being done? Not just was she covert, was a covert agent exposed in some way, those are important issues, but everyone needs to remember the reason that Rove did it, or the reason that Libby did it. The salient detail to that is because it was some sort of vindictive retribution against Joe Wilson for just telling the truth. Hey, there's no Niger, you know, there's no uranium in Niger.
Right. Now, let me go back to the Frank Rich column of yesterday. He writes, as White House counsel, Alberto Gonzalez was the first one, first notified that the Justice Department, at the request of the CIA, had opened an investigation into the outing of Joe Wilson's wife. That notification came at 8:30 p.m. on 29 September 2003, but it took Mr. Gonzalez 12 more hours to inform the White House staff that it must, quote, preserve all materials, end quote, relevant to the investigation. This 12-hour delay, he has said, was sanctioned by the Justice Department. But since the department was then run by John Ashcroft, a Bush loyalist who refused to recuse himself from the plane case, inquiring Senate Democrats would examine this 12-hour delay as closely as an 18-and-a-half-minute tape gap, referencing, of course, Watergate. Charles Schumer said, quote, every good prosecutor knows that any delay could give a culprit time to destroy the evidence, end quote. A new Gonzales confirmation process now would have quickly devolved into a neo-Watergate hearing. Mr. Gonzales was in the thick of the plane investigation, all told, for 16 months. Now, writing at the Carpetbagger Report, which is a blog, the writer says, as much as I appreciate Rich bringing the 12-hour gap question to the forefront, his characterization was understating the case. On Friday, 26 September 2003, the CIA directed the Justice Department to launch a criminal probe into the leak. 3 days later, on Monday, 29 September 2003, the White House counsel's office, that would be Gonzales, was formally notified about the investigation. And then 12 hours after that, Gonzales told the White House staff to preserve materials. In other words, the amount of time that Bush aides were given to discard, destroy relevant evidence wasn't 12 hours. It was several days. Now, it's as the blogger writes, it's not as if the Gonzales notification on the morning of Tuesday, 30 September, it's not as if that notification told Rove and Company something new. MSNBC told the world about the investigation 3 days earlier on Friday night. That meant Rove and Company learned on Friday that they were being investigated. And they weren't formally told to start securing relevant materials until Tuesday. You see? The Bush gang didn't have 12 hours to cover their tracks. They had a whole weekend. Now, as was said back in October 2003 by Senators Daschle, Biden, Levin, and Schumer in a written statement, they said, quote, we are at risk of seeing this investigation so compromised that those responsible for this national security breach will never be identified and prosecuted. Well, I hope that's not the case. This thing is just out of control. This is like it's just out of control. You know, here this crime family is involved in two wars, both of which we're losing, and we're losing badly. We're losing these wars much worse than the war we lost in Vietnam, and in a much more profound way. Do you understand why? Because whether or not the leaders in the U.S. military, the Defense Department, see this as a holy war or a jihad, the people on the other side do. Osama bin Laden, back when we recruited and trained and armed him to fight against the Russians, he was not fighting to install some sort of democracy in Afghanistan that the Russians had overthrown. No. He was fighting as an Islamic warrior to murder as quickly as he could the infidel invader, which happened to be Russian. Didn't make any difference. It could have been Icelandic. It didn't make any difference. The war we lost in Vietnam is such ancient history that our former Secretary of State, Colin Powell, can get up on a stage in downtown Hanoi and dress up like a Hawaiian dancer and make a total ass of himself. In a skit in a Friday Night Follies as part of a ceremony celebrating the great brotherhood and friendship and business now of the United States and Vietnam. That will not happen with the Islamists. We'll never see a time when Vietnamese terrorists will come to this country and set off bombs, will we?
With 25 sweet summers and hot fires in the cold. This kind of life makes that violence unthinkable. We'd like to play hockey, have kids and grow old. Fighters for Texaco.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Madison's home for Air America. Madison's progressive talk. The Mike, 92.1.
You've seen it in the newspapers, heard it on the radio, watched it on TV. The good news about Aleve. The good news about the strength and safety of Aleve. That just two Aleve can stop arthritis pain all day. No wonder Aleve is the number one pharmacist recommended pain reliever for the sixth year in a row. Ask your doctor about the good news. Ask your doctor about Aleve. Pharmacy Times survey among leading OTC oral medications for minor arthritis pain. Use as directed.
Nancy Botwin has the best grass in the neighborhood.
Jesus, Nancy, you weren't kidding. This stuff is primo.
Showtime presents a new original series about a single mom dealing in the suburbs.
If this doesn't work out, I could end up being the oldest SCAP employee in Southern California.
Newsweek.com calls Weeds the most talked about comedy in ages.
You didn't hear that from me. I don't like gossip.
Weeds, special preview Sunday, August 7th at 11. Or see it Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 10, 9 Central. Only on Showtime.
The Al Franken Show, proving the truth is entertaining.
I think they do believe in the mission, the soldiers that I've met over there and Marines. But I think it's more complicated than that. I think that the part of it is they're there for their buddies. And that's what you're supposed to do in the military. And also, it's a lot easier to believe in a mission when you're there at the mission. But I think more and more there are people over there that are doubting it.
The Al Franken Show, weekdays at 11 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, streaming at themike921.com.
You know, my therapist tells me I got to write down my dreams every night. So this is my one from last night, my dream from last night. So I'm at this mega church in Kentucky, Riley, for the Justice Sunday show. Problem is, I'm locked in an 8-foot steel cage with a cloth draped over it. Outside my cage, I can hear James Dobson screaming about people of faith being attacked and roasted and eaten. I hear the words Shivo, judicial homicide, and Ron Jeremy. I'm not sure what he had to do with it, but suddenly I feel myself being carried on stage and the cloth is removed. I'm hit in the eyes with this intense bright light and immediately hundreds of neocons start booing and throwing dirt clods and ball peen hammers and mashed potatoes and gravy and doll parts at me. James Dobson sneers and points at me and says, "Brothers and sisters, gaze upon the liberal Jew. Listen to his obstructionist filibuster. Listen to his satanic hate speech. Given half a chance, he'd kill Jesus all over again." Dobson gets a long, sharp stick, reaches through the bars, and pokes me hard in the ribs. He says, "Wouldn't you, huh?" I say, "Ow! Hi, I'm Mark Maron, and this is Morning Sedition." Everybody starts booing and throwing dirt clods at me. "Today, the neocon, death cult, Christo-fascist, zombie brigade, boo! Boo!" Dobson pokes me again and barks, "Silence, heathen! What say you, good people? Shall we kill this sinner?" A huge roar went up. "Yeah! Stone him! Stone him!" Dobson raises his hand for quiet and says, "I have a better idea." Then these big guys pick up my cage and lower me into a baptism tank. Dobson screams, "Convert the devil!" I'm underwater for a long time. I start to black out. I see a tunnel and a white light. My dead cat Butch smoking a cigarette. Then they pull me back up, dripping and gasping. And Dobson says, "What say you now?" I say, "Christo fascist zombie." Dobson says, "Then you have chosen your own fate." They open the cage, and I look up and see four hungry lions circling me, and above them, three giant video screens of four hungry lions circling me. I hear an announcer, "When we return on Justice Sunday, the obstructionist liberal gets his just desserts," right after these messages. I woke up, and my bed was filled with Polident.
You know, you can be issued a hefty ticket for being caught on a railroad crossing when a train's approaching. Of course, you may not be alive to pay the fine. So, stop, look, and listen.
181 weeks, we'll be celebrating a new administration.
This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
And now, a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
about 10 before the hour. And, you know, the other thing, too, of course, you have to think about all the terrorists, insurgents, bombers, whatever you want to call them, that we're creating. Every time we murder an innocent Iraqi or Afghan mom or dad, think about the kids. How many of these pictures have you seen? This topic that Randy Rhodes handled today that I simply will not go near. The children whose parents have been blown to pieces, who've done nothing, because the son of a bitch in the White House is a murderer and a killer, and he has surrounded himself with other murderers and killers and ordered this kind of death. Think about these kids. Do you not believe that 17 or 18 years from now, they'll take up arms against the murderers who took their parents from them? Huh? Tell me again how Bush has made us safer from terrorism? Safer? George W. Bush has guaranteed that white, English-speaking, non-Muslim people will face the possibility of having their lives snuffed out for generations. Call it stereotyping if you want, but the Muslim mind does not think about something that happened 10 years ago as being something that happened 10 years ago. It was a moment ago. Something 100 years ago was a slightly larger moment ago. Something that happened 1,000 years ago may still cry out for revenge. Now, this drunk Rumsfeld hints that we may be in Iraq for 10 years or more. What about the 6 and 7 and 8-year-old war orphans? Wait till they grow up and join the jihad that Bush instigated. We will be in Iraq 30 years from now if these killers in the White House have their way. Our children, our grandchildren will be fighting the bombers and revenge seekers that Bush is creating today. Now we know this, don't we? But the Bush crime family, for the most part, the ones that are, say, under the age of 60, the ones over the age of 60 know that death is waiting for them very soon now. Very soon, in relative terms. The ones that are sick and feeble and found out they have prostate cancer or this cancer or that cancer, you know, and Jesus is waiting for them or whomever, you know, let's forget them. But the ones that are under the age of 60 in the Bush crime family, they feel that they are safe from all this because they can isolate themselves. They can live in the underground bunker. They can live in the gated community surrounded by private security employees. They can fly on military aircraft. To think that someone can convince themselves that they are immune from a terrorist attack, though, is to hear someone who is a moron or an idiot. Who, what, was it Kennedy himself who said, President Kennedy, that there is no way in hell, that's not his words, but I'm paraphrasing, no way in hell that you can protect even a president if some madman or a group of madmen, we would consider them insane, but you're not, you know, if they decide to off somebody in our government, if they decide to drop a so-called dirty bomb into one of our major cities, if they decide to attack the L in Chicago or the trains in San Francisco or the subway in New York, what? We're going to stop them? How? How are we going to stop them? There's only one way to stop them, and that is to not instigate this kind of global horror to begin with. You can, and further, does anyone still believe that you can bomb a nation and kill people into accepting peace and democracy? Is that at all logical to any sane person? Not that that's what the Bush crime family was after. That's what they've been saying. Oh, well, we're going to bring peace and justice. No, they're not. That's not what they want in Iraq. They want a state of chaos so severe that they can declare a form of martial law, lock it down, siphon off the resources, steal everybody blind, including the American taxpayer. This is a criminal gang beyond belief that's in control of this country. Does anybody care? I mean, of course you care, but, you know, I always come back to the same question of what we're doing about it. So that's the deeper issue behind Rovegate. That's the issue. It's not Joe Wilson or Valerie Plame. It's what these filthy, murdering killers have done to our country, our form of government, and are trying to do to the rest of the world. So what are we going to do about it?
America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
Democrats in Washington are saying these days, "I wish the next elections were now." Congressional Republicans and Bush are saddled with low approval ratings. That's good news for Democrats, though this can change in the next 15 months. But Republicans have something that Democrats do not: a solid relationship with their base. Look at two big issues: Iraq and the Supreme Court. Republican activists support the war and are high on John Roberts, Bush's pick for the court. Look at the other side. Democratic activists opposed the war, but many of the elected leaders supported it. And grassroots Democrats want a big fight over the court, yet some Senate Democrats have signaled they don't want a battle royale. If the party wants to have a chance of winning back Congress, it needs a strong connection with its base. But that's easier said than done. For more from The Nation, go to thenation.com. I'm David Korn, Washington editor of The Nation for Air America Radio.
How much would you pay to have a fresh, blistering expose of the frauds, follies, and felonies of George W. Bush and company delivered to your mailbox every week? You say you'd pay nothing? Well, that's perfect, because that's our offer exactly. The Nation magazine will send you 4 weeks of America's hottest, widest-read journal of opinion absolutely free. Nobody, not Murdoch, not Time Warner, nobody owns The Nation, so nobody stops The Nation from printing the truth. Go to readthenation.com or call 800-999-6863 and accept 4 issues free. After 4 weeks, you can bail out. Just write cancel on our invoice, but I predict you'll be addicted. And delighted to sign up for 24 weeks at $13.95. That's just 58 cents a week. The Nation, risk-free at readthenation.com or call 800-999-6863. Readthenation.com or call 800-999-6863. And accept 4 issues free. The Nation.
Morning's Edition. Overthrow your morning radio routine.
Karl Rove is guilty of treason. I believe he is. Much of America believes he is. The Republicans are trying to spin it differently, though the White House is stonewalling out of fear that they will see the man behind the curtain for who he is, a traitor. Am I right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Morning's Edition from 5 to 8. On Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
I'm State Representative Spencer Black, and I'm on the mic.
Streaming online at themic921.com. WXXM Sun Prairie, Madison.
You're sorry you're late? No. You're not late. You're 45 minutes late. I've been sitting here by myself waiting for you for 45 minutes. Do you have any idea how that makes me feel? Say something.
Keep your voice down.
You know what's wrong with gay marriages? The same things that are wrong with straight ones. Support same-sex marriage. A message from PFLAG and equalmarriage.ca.
CNN Radio News, I'm Michelle Wright.
tragedy marked the first day of the National Boy Scout Jamboree. An electrical accident killed four scout leaders, injured a fifth leader, and a contract worker. The six were setting up Monday afternoon for the camp at Fort A.P. Hill in Virginia. Officials are currently trying to figure out exactly what happened. $1 million, that's the amount of money now available for the safe return of missing Alabama teen Natalie Holloway. Our Susan Candiotti reports, along with the increased reward, there's new information from Anna Reuben Gardner.
He claims that this car looked like the Calpo brothers' car, one of the two boys that was with Natalie, along with Yaron Vandersloot. He said he was able to not only recognize them, he said, but also Yaron Vandersloot being in the car.
Officials are still waiting on DNA test results from hair and duct tape found on a beach to see if they have a connection to the case. Final preps are being made on the Space Shuttle Discovery prior to its scheduled launch in just a few hours, which this local is looking forward to.
Well, this person was old, but now I'm just so excited that I hope it goes up. Can't wait. I mean, it's been 2.5 years. It's a long time. So I think everybody's pumped around here.
NASA officials still haven't figured out what caused a problem with a fuel sensor, but believe it won't be a problem with the launch. And round four of the six-party talks is getting underway at this hour in Beijing, and our Stan Grant says America's rep, Christopher Hill, is stating the U.S.'s stance on North Korea's nuclear program.
The United States has no intention to invade North Korea. He says the United States respects North Korea's sovereignty. Right at the beginning of the speech, he says the United States has other options for dealing with this. They prefer the multilateral six-party talks, but there are other options. What those options will be and how they will be interpreted by the North Koreans is going to be crucial here.
This is CNN Radio News.
You know, sleep can really impact how we look. I've noticed when I don't get enough sleep, not only does my skin look duller, but I just look older. So when I have pain and trouble sleeping, I don't just put up with it. I take something, Tylenol PM. It doesn't make me groggy, and it's non-habit forming. I just look and feel better when I get enough sleep. For me, it's not just about hitting the gym and stocking up at the makeup counter. It's about making sure I relieve my pain and I can sleep. Tylenol PM. Use only as directed.
If you're looking for a way to treat frequent heartburn, why not ask your doctor for his opinion? Then maybe go get a second opinion, even a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh, an eighth. We're willing to bet you'll hear Prilosec OTC quite a bit. Because now doctors and pharmacists are recommending Prilosec OTC more than any other OTC acid reducer. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days for treating frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief based on share of recommendations.
The national heat wave continues with scorching temps expected once again on Tuesday throughout the West and along most of the East Coast. The face of unionized labor in America is changing as one-third of the AFL-CIO is leaving the organization. Andy Stern with the Service Employees International Union says the defection wasn't an easy decision. They just weren't getting what they needed.
We are in the midst of the most significant and profound transformative economic revolution in history. And workers are suffering.
Joining the SEIU in the split is the Teamsters and two other unions. The family of Christy Miller, the American killed in the Sharm el-Sheikh Egypt bombings, is speaking out.
Just her, period. I miss her. Just her in general. There's not one thing I'm going to miss. It was just her and everything about her.
Stephanie Miller is Christy's younger sister. This is news from CNN Radio. Award season is kicking up again. America. Punk band Green Day garnered 8 nominations, leading the pack for the MTV Music Video Awards. Following close behind is former No Doubt frontwoman Gwen Stefani and rapper Missy Elliott, each with 6 nods. Sometime presenter and frequent attendee to the MTV Awards, Cameron Diaz won an important lawsuit on Monday. A jury convicted the man who took topless pictures of her before she became famous of forgery, attempted grand theft, and perjury. And the WB Network is kicking its animated mascot to the curb.
The WB is looking to a more grown-up image, one that shows the network can deliver hits with a little more maturity in their subject matter. There's the new drama Supernatural and the legal series called Just Legal. So far, the network has mostly appealed to 14 to 24-year-olds. Network executives hope getting rid of the frog will help them with the older 25 to 34-year-old crowd.
CNN Radio's Linda Harris. I'm Michelle Wright. This is the CNN Radio Network.
Big Ed has some big ideas on the Mike 92.1.
I almost fell out of my chair last night when I heard an angry Ken Melman decry the Rove story as a smear campaign. I mean, this has to be the biggest case of the pot calling the kettle black in U.S. political history.
Well, they know that there's a base out there that's going to believe them. Look, I'm not angry. I'd just like to get the truth on this deal.
Straight Talk is progressive talk. Ed Schultz, weekdays at 2 on the Mike 92.1.
This is actor Angie Harmon working as a volunteer tutor. Here, she's teaching kids to spell habeas corpus. Here, prosecutable. Angie played a lawyer on TV.
To find out how you can volunteer in your community, go to usafreedomcorps.gov or call 1-877-USA-CORPS. When you help your neighbors, you help your nation. Make a difference. Volunteer. This public service message brought to you by USA Freedom Corps and the Ad Council.
Mike Malloy on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike, 92.1.
A big welcome to our newest Air America Radio affiliate, WSMB, 1350 AM in New Orleans. A little music for you folks, huh? All right, a couple of emails, and then I want to get to the sound bites we have for you. This is from Ed. Ed writes, the Democrats have missed their opportunity to be vociferous on a daily basis on the subject of bin Laden. They should be saying, where's bin Laden, Mr. President? And they have failed to do this day after day after day. Think of the political points they have squandered. Now the attacks in London, they sit silently. Where are you, Democrats? Why are you not shouting from the rooftops day after day after day? Where is bin Laden, Mr. President? Well, Democrats said, as you know, they're terrified of pissing off Karl Rove. And so they don't do that. Rick in Nashville writes in, Mike, I know you can't talk about this on the air yet, but I have finally caved in to the 911 cover-up conspiracy thing. Absolutely, 100%. I'm done. None of what we talk about anymore makes sense to me because there is no global terrorism threat. There is no real enemy out there who hates us for our freedom. The only people on this planet who hate me for my freedom is my own government, which is precisely why they've been taking it away. We planned, executed, and covered up the attacks on 911. 3,000 civilian deaths apparently were within the acceptable losses to justify a global war against a stateless enemy and spend ordnance and fund the military-industrial complex. This is fact. This is the actual reality, and nothing else matters to me now. All the other political discussion are moot. I'm sorry. I'm no longer a Democrat. I'm no longer a diehard liberal. I'm simply an anti-military conspiracy warrior. This is Armageddon. It really is. I live for the day you'll be able to touch this subject. And Simon in the UK sent me a link to Harry Reid's site. He has a clock there, and when I punched in, it said 742 days, 22 hours, 48 minutes, and 49 seconds without Republicans investigating the CIA leak case. And then by the numbers, number of days after the article outing Ambassador Wilson's wife appeared that the White House required its staff to turn over evidence relating to the leak, 85 days. Approximate hours between then White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez's advance notification to White House Chief of Staff Andy Card that he would require staff to turn over evidence relating to the case and formal notification to staff of that requirement, 12 hours. Minimum number of times an administration official leaked classified information about the identity of Ambassador Wilson's wife, 11. Minimum number of times after the beginning of the Justice Department's investigation that White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan claimed Karl Rove was not involved, 5. Number of press conferences since evidence linking Karl Rove to the leak was made public, where Press Secretary McClellan has refused to comment. 7. And I like these last, this last one, or these last two. The minimum number of hearings held by Senate Republicans to investigate accusations against President Clinton involving the Whitewater case, 20! 20 hearings about Whitewater! How many hearings by Senate Republicans investigating the leak of the covert identity of Ambassador Joseph Wilson's wife? 0! Pigs. Here's the last one, and then we're going to these sound bites. This is from Eileen. I hope this message reaches you. Well, they all get to me, the ones that get through the filter, Eileen. Just to let you know that I understand and respect your limitation regarding any detailed discussion of what is happening to Iraqi children in our custody. But I want it to come out. I want to see these old, pale, quote, people, end quote, with their mouths agape. I want to see them strangle on their red, white, and blue ribbons. I want their bumper stickers to suffocate them. I want their pundits to have strokes live on television. Randy dealt with the subject on her show, and I must say that I am beyond tears. I am enraged. Anyone with an ounce of humanity would be, and would want to inflict retribution on those who commit such acts. I believe in the law of cause and effect. What these maniacs occupying a whorehouse at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue have done is rain down damnation upon this country. And if we turn away and don't put a stop to it, we deserve everything that will happen to us. All the bag searching and high tech is not going to do a thing to save our asses. Nothing can save us but us if we don't kill each other first. Just to set the record straight, we have covered the ongoing torture and rape of children on this program over and over and over. We have not taken an in-depth look at the reports that are leaking out now about these videotapes and photographs that no less a pig murderer than Don Rumsfeld said months ago were beyond belief. I'm not totally unwilling to talk about this topic, just not tonight. And, you know, I don't know. I've got children. I've got grandchildren. I hate my government. I hate my government. I hate my government. Maybe it's too close to my daughter's first birthday, and I just need a day or two to get some distance between her birthday and what my government is ordering done to other children in a foreign land. Now, I know what's going on. And if you don't, then shame on you, because the information is out there, and Randy talked about it today, I understand, at considerable detail. And I also understand that the discussion on her program today was almost more than some of her listeners could handle. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. It has to be talked about. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to run away from it. I'm not trying to cover it up. I'm not trying to say no, 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 and put my hands over my ears and go la 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 la. No, 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 no. I just, I always have a hard time with the death of children. I have a horrific time with the death of children in so-called war zones. And it's almost impossible for me to deal with the thought or the possibility or the reality that people who represent me in the uniform of my country may be encouraging or participating in child murder and child rape in order to extract information from the adults who are there in the room and forced to watch. And I cannot get my mind around the idea that such policy was sanctioned by the now Attorney General of the United States. I can't handle that. Not tonight. Speaking of that pig, we're going to focus on Butterbutt, the architect, and the lies that he was trying to convince us of that got us into the torturing of innocent Iraqis in the first place. And we're also going to focus a little bit here on the torture memo writer himself, Alberto Gonzalez, coming up right after this break. Stay here. I'm Mike Malloy.
Dictator, prisons like Abu Ghraib were symbols of death and torture. America will fund the construction of a modern maximum security prison. When that prison is completed, detainees at Abu Ghraib will be relocated.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
We support real family values. Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
I'm Mike Rowe. My life's a mess.
You're gonna get really mucky and ucky.
Did you say mucky and ucky?
Yeah.
It's like a giant mixing bowl from hell.
But that is just the way I like it.
That is a very unique smell.
Because I'm the host of Dirty Jobs, Discovery's new series that salutes the unsung heroes who get their hands dirty every day.
You're gonna get a little taste of what it's like to be a septic tank technician.
Dirty Jobs.
Guys, thanks a little.
Sure it's not you?
Premieres tomorrow at 9 on the Discovery Channel.
Did you know that most vacuums sold today spew dust and bacteria back into the air your family breathes? It's disgusting, I know. Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I want to assure you that my 8-pound Orrick XL does not blow dirt back into the air. For a healthier environment, you want a hypoallergenic Orrick XL. Call me at 1-800-989-4200 for a free 30-day trial. 1-800-989-4200. I promise, my Orrick XL won't blow dirt back into the air. Ever.
The Al Franken Show, proving the truth is entertaining.
Amazing what happens when you're tired or drunk.
Al, it's sort of a slur when you continually assert that he is drunk.
I wasn't slurring.
Al.
I'm joking. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke about the president used to be a drunk. And also, we don't know that he's not drinking.
Al!
The Al Franken Show.
We don't know if you're not drinking. Give me that cup. Give me that cup.
Here.
God, that's strong.
Weekdays at 11 on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
Hey, Maren. Sorry to interrupt you, buddy, but Future Mark is on line one.
Future Mark, great. Put him through.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Hey, buddy, what's up? So what's going on in 2050 today?
Well, I'm getting my kidney replaced. It's been about 3 months, and I was at the hospital anyway, so I thought, you know, what the hell? But that's not really why I'm at the hospital.
So why are you at the hospital?
I had to bring my clone in because he hurt himself.
Oh, no. Is he, are they okay? I mean, are you guys okay? What happened?
Well, he's fine. They're always fine. I just, I kind of beat him up.
Whoa. You beat up your clone? Well, I'm sorry, buddy, but that's kind of creepy.
All right, well, look, you know how you spent all those years beating yourself up? Well, in 2050, that's all over, my friend. You just take it out on the clone. It's actually why most people have them anyway.
Wait, so in the future I have a clone, and I just use him as a punching bag?
Well, that's not what he's for. You know, he cooks, he cleans, he does the things you don't want to do. He attends events for me sometimes. He stands in line for stuff. I make him buy condoms. Yeah, stuff like that.
But mostly you just hit him.
You don't understand, Mark. Crime has gone way down because of clones. They take the brunt of people's frustrations. There's hardly any more domestic abuse now that you can kick your clone's ass instead.
Look, I'm sorry, man, but it just sounds exactly like domestic abuse to me.
No, it's not. They don't bleed or anything. They don't even feel physical pain. I even shot him once, and then I sent him out for pizza. The problem is, actually, you can hurt their feelings. I mean, they are still you know.
Mr. Maron, your clone is ready to go home now.
Oh, hey, Mark, my clone's here. Hold on. You told me he fell down the stairs, right? Like we said, right?
Wow, this is really weird. I mean, I don't want to judge you, but man. So is everybody like this to their clones?
Hey, I'm one of the nice ones, okay? I mean, I'm not a clonist or anything. I've even been to Clone Town, like, a bunch of times. As long as they know their place. You know what I'm saying? I mean, can you imagine if they could vote? Wow, that'd be awful.
Oh, man. Dude, I usually enjoy these conversations, but today you're really making me kind of sad. Kind of bummed, a little freaked out. But is there anything you want to tell me before I go?
Yeah, actually. Did you see the movie Signs?
You mean the one about the crop circles and the aliens?
Exactly. Okay, so here's what you need to do. You need to rent it again, kind of get the message, and just for your own peace of mind, you might want to have a super soaker filled with water on you pretty much all the time.
Okay, man. But look, be nicer to your clone.
Yeah, whatever. Later, man.
Later.
You're on the mic.
You're listening to a station that makes conservatives cry.
Madison's Progressive Talk.
I'm on the mic, listening to the world as it should be.
Mike 92.1.
We're going to tell y'all a little story about a monkey that became president. Man, you know, I was there on the day the monkey came into this world. His face was round and reddish, and his hair was slightly curled. He didn't look too different from the others that I had seen. Who'd have thought he was the answer to this nation's dream? At first, he didn't seem to be too intelligent at all. Every time he started to walk, he stumbled and he'd fall. My first impression was to be a most mistaken thought. Lord Almighty, watch this little Harry Monkey run. We gonna let Donnie tell you about it.
It's 21 past the hour. All right, let's go to Alberto Torture Memo Gonzalez, who is now the Chief Law Enforcement Officer of the United States. Gonzalez appeared on CBS's Face the Nation Sunday morning and responded to Frank Rich's column about a connection between Gonzalez's delay of 12 hours in notifying White House officials of their need to preserve all the records in the Flame investigation, emails, everything. Now, you know, if you really want to slip on your tinfoil hat, this could explain Bush's decision to pass over Gonzalez for the Supreme Court. Can you imagine the questions Senate Democrats could, if they wanted to, throw at Gonzalez about this affair during his confirmation hearings? Huh? You imagine that? The Bush crime family doesn't need or want or allow that kind of publicity. Hence the nomination of a no-name like John Roberts. Here's Bob Schieffer.
You were the White House counsel when all of this took place. And according to Frank Rich in the New York Times this morning, on September 29, 2003, when you were the White House counsel, the Justice Department notified you that it had opened an investigation into who outed Joe Wilson's wife, but that you waited 12 hours to notify White House staffers that they had to preserve materials connected to that case. That, of course, would give people time to shred documents and do any number of things. Why didn't you immediately notify the White House staff that this Justice Department investigation was about to commence?
When I was a counsel, it was always my practice to work very, very closely and carefully with investigators and to seek permission with respect to every step that I took with respect to an investigation. In this particular case, we were notified by the Department of Justice late one evening, I guess it was about 8 o'clock, and I specifically had our lawyers go back to the Department of Justice lawyers and ask them, do you want us to notify the staff now, immediately, or to be okay to notify the staff early in the morning? And we were advised, go ahead and notify the staff early in the morning. That would be okay.
So Ashcroft's Justice Department said it's okay to give the Bush crime family 12 hours to destroy the evidence. Wow, what a surprise, huh? So what did Bush and his cronies know? And when did they know it?
Well, let me just ask you the obvious question, Mr. Attorney General. Did you tell anybody at the White House, get ready for this, here it comes?
I told one person in the White House that of the notification, and then immediately I told the Chief of Staff, and then immediately the next morning told the President, and shortly thereafter there was a notification sent out to all the members of the White House staff.
So the one person who knew that an investigation was underway was Chief of Staff Andrew Card, who also happened to be aboard Air Force One in July 2003 with Ari Fleischer, Colin Powell, and the top secret State Department document, perhaps authored by John Bolton, that contained the identity of Valerie Wilson. My God. Now, this here's the last one, I believe, from Bob Schieffer. This has to be one of the all-time half-assed questions in media history, and the answer is pretty lame, too. Listen to this question from Bob Schieffer.
Mr. Attorney General, can I ask you why you didn't investigate this as the White House counsel when this first blew up?
I think that this was the kind of issue that I felt that we should wait and see whether or not there would be some kind of criminal investigation. And of there was, and once the criminal investigation began, I've always felt that it would be counterproductive and would be in the way and might, in fact, hinder the criminal investigation.
Well,
that's
why
the decision was made.
I see. You didn't investigate because it might have hurt the investigation. Now, that makes sense. Mr. Attorney General, can I ask you why you didn't investigate this as the White House counsel when this first blew up? Duh. Maybe, Bob, because he didn't want Butterbutt, the architect, and Cheney's puppy, Louis Libby, to get into big trouble. You think, Bob? Maybe he didn't want to see Mr. Bush impeached. You think, Bob? Maybe he didn't want to see Dick Cheney impeached. Huh? Maybe? Bob! Good Christ! I love Helen Thomas. This is Simple Scotty from the briefing today. Listen to Helen Thomas. I hope you can hear this. She never takes no for an answer. She has this question about Scooter and Butterbutt.
Does Tom Rove and Scooter Libby still have a top secret clearance here, access to classified documents?
They asked this question last week. And
did, and I'm asking again.
And the president has said what our answer is to these questions. We'll be glad to talk about all these issues once the investigation is complete.
Clearance.
We'll be glad to talk about all the issues relating to the investigation once it's complete.
Talk about it now.
Well, that question I addressed a couple of weeks ago.
You asked that question last week, and I'm asking you again. Do they have a clearance? We'll be glad to talk about these issues relating to the investigation once it's complete. Why can't you talk about it now? Well, that question I addressed a couple of weeks ago, Helen Thomas. Ha!
He lies and he lies and he lies. He just lies and he lies and he lies and he lies. He can lie any time. He can lie any place. He crosses his fingers and keeps a straight face. Lies and he lies and he lies. Too many believe him, they're bleating like sheep. Accomplices now in the liar's deceit. He lies and he lies and he lies. Lies, lies, lies. He pokes a dog.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Find your voice on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Nancy Botwin has the best grass in the neighborhood.
Jesus, Nancy, you weren't kidding. This stuff is primo.
Showtime presents a new original series about a single mom dealing in the suburbs.
If this doesn't work out, I could end up being the oldest Gap employee in Southern California.
Newsweek.com calls Weeds the most talked about comedy in ages.
You didn't hear that from me. I don't like gossip.
Weeds. Special preview Sunday, August 7th at 11. Or see it Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 10, 9 Central. Only on Showtime.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-863-WORD. That's 863-WORD. 1-800-863-WORD.
Every day, it's a battle between you and your feet. And now, they're itching for a fight.
Oh, ooh,
So fight back with Gold Bond Foot Powder or Foot Spray. Maximum Strength Medicine for maximum strength relief in a foot powder or cooling spray. For victory over the odor and wetness. Victory over the itch. Gold Bond Foot Powder or Foot Spray. Victory over defeat.
Progressive Sound Off with Morning Sedition here on the Mike 92.1.
Here in New York City, they're searching bags. They're thinking about putting cameras everywhere. And some people, myself included, are kind of like, well, is that bad? And I know it's bad. I know it's, you know, it's part of the culture of fear and it'll make us all easily led. But I get a little paranoid. Maybe I'm you know what? Maybe I've got to clean my brain out, Riley. Maybe I've got to fight the fight and say, do not infringe upon my rights, my friends. I don't care what you think it is. In the long term, this is no good, and it's a tool to keep people oppressed.
Well, see, what you have here, Mark, are a number of conflicting emotions and a number of conflicting precedents in law, and you have the very real question of how long this stepped-up security is going to last. Why? Because it costs the New York City Police Department $2 million a day to be on this kind of high alert sort of thing. So you got to say to yourself, well, how long? Till the end of the year? Till after the election? For a year? Forever? How long do you have people in law enforcement spending their time in trains, searching people's bags, while other squads, perhaps burglary, narcotics, and some of the other squads, are depleted because all this manpower or person power is being shifted?
The real question is how much do we have to adapt to? You already got people, you got, you know, a squad of police officers armed, get on a double-decker tour bus because they were tipped off by a guy that works at the bus company that some guys look suspicious. They take everybody out. They put five guys down on the knees, handcuff them, Asian guys with English accents. Turns out they didn't have nothing. They weren't a threat to anybody, but they did it at the advice of just a guy. You can't have that. Before that, how long will it take? Like, look, we all get used to this stuff, and some people that call and some people that are in the articles are sort of like, well, I guess this is just what we have to deal with because of the way things are. But how long before people are like, you know, I'm not going to go anywhere anymore?
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
Once again with the fog of lies.
This whole story has been a fog of lies.
The fog of lies. You can't really discern what's true and what's a lie anymore.
It's all foggy.
Amorphous and
foggy.
Fog of lies.
Because of
that she's
you.
Creating. Ooh, look over there.
Look, you are hypnotized by the giant Adam's apple. Look.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow.
Weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
Welcome to Arizona, partner. The official state neckwear is the bola. So take off that tie. Nothing says Wild West like wearing a shoelace around your neck. The original Arizonians included the Hopi, the Apache, and the Navajo. They fought with each other until the white man arrived, and the Indians were finally free to set aside their differences and sell turquoise on the side of the road. Eventually, Arizona became part of the land the United States won in the Mexican-American War. The Mexicans gave up almost half their land in exchange for not giving up the rest. Uncle Sam sure knows how to drive a bargain. Demographic change came to Arizona after the Second World War with the Great Migration of the Old People. Spurred on by rumors of a land with a nice dry heat and reasonably priced buffets, America's elderly came in droves to retire. Great caravans of Airstream trailers stretched to the horizon. The main industry is tourism. It's called the Grand Canyon State, but there's much more to Arizona than just a huge hole in the ground. For starters, there's another huge hole in the ground. A giant meteor crater whimsically named Meteor Crater. No other state has been so truly blessed by bombardment from space. In 1971, the London Bridge was purchased and moved to Lake Havasu. Freed from its shroud of London fog, the bridge was able to find its true calling as a backdrop for frolicking teens at MTV spring break parties. From those tequila-soaked teenagers to the senior citizens crowding the Sizzler salad bar, Arizona has something for everybody.
Madison, you're on the mic.
Hi, this is Jera. My favorite show is Morning Sedition.
Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic, 92.1.
I wear a tin cap hat and a carry a baseball bat. Down on the corner of 6th and Main Street, stick all the communists
It's about 26 before the hour, and again, a big easy welcome to our newest Air America Radio affiliate, WSMB, 1350 AM in New Orleans. Back to Simple Scotty's briefing today. Other reporters, after Helen Thomas did not get the quacker to respond, other reporters tried to get McClellan to comment on the Frank Rich New York Times piece and what Gonzalez was saying about the 12-hour gap on the Sunday talk shows. Simple Scotty then invited them to review what he said in October of 2003. So that's what we're going to do for you here in just a minute. But first, from today, the reporter asked, on the leak investigation, Scott, does President Bush feel that it was appropriate for there to be an 11 or 12-hour time gap from the time the Chief of Staff, Andy Card, was notified that an investigation was underway to the time that the staff here at the White House, including him...
I think the President has said that, and the President directed the White House at the beginning of the investigation to cooperate fully with those overseeing the investigation, and that is exactly what we have done, and that's what we did in that context as well. If you will recall, back on October 1st of 2003, these questions came up, and I addressed it at that time, so you might want to go back and look at that discussion during that briefing.
Oh, God, don't say that, Mike. Now, another reporter asked about the 12-hour shredding party, only to be to refer once again to the October 2003 briefing that McClellan had. This reporter says, Scott, can you assure us that Andrew Card did not speak to either or did not tell either President Bush or Karl Rove or Scooter Libby or anyone else about the Justice Department investigation? I know that none of you are speaking about this because it's an ongoing investigation. But can you explain why Alberto Gonzalez would go on television yesterday and do that, talk about it?
Well, what he said was already said from this podium back in October of 2003, and I don't think he got into commenting in any substantive way on the discussion. But the President has said that we will be glad to talk about this once the investigation has come to a conclusion, but not until then. And there have certainly been preferences expressed to the White House that... we not get into discussing it while it is ongoing.
Okay. So what did Scott McClellan quack about in 2003 on his on this issue? Let's go back to October 1st, 2003. A reporter at that briefing 2 years ago says, Scott, according to the chronology you outlined yesterday, there was this approximately 11-hour time lag between the time the White House counsel's office was notified by Justice Department on Monday night and the memo and message went out to the staffers to be, well, some Democrats such as Senator Schumer have jumped on that time lag and have been very critical of it. He said that this illustrates the need for a special prosecutor. The special prosecutor would never have allowed that. I understand, Scott, what you said yesterday, that you were prepared to move immediately. You, the counsel's office, was prepared to move immediately, and you were told by Justice, nah, tomorrow's okay. But Senator Schumer and other people are saying that a special prosecutor never would have allowed that. Who in the counsel's office, Scott, got the call Monday night, and who did they then notify?
Yeah, I think I'll leave it at that the counsel's office was contacted by the Department of Justice. I'm not getting into all the names. I think you can expect that the chief of staff would have been notified approximately 8:30 on Monday evening. And the White House staff was not notified at that point because they said it's fine to notify them tomorrow morning. So I don't think... it wasn't known amongst the White House staff that there was an investigation underway until the next morning.
Not too much information reported for reporters here either, other than that Andy Card was in on it. Okay, still, October 1st, 2003, as long as McClellan is so generous to remind us to jump into the Wayback Machine, and he keeps saying, well, I referred to that back in October. Let's sample a bit more. Listen to this quacking tap dance with Terry Moran.
Terry.
Scott, when did the president first find out that someone in his administration had outed an undercover CIA official? What was his reaction? What did he do about it?
Well, one, there's an allegation that that has happened at this point. Terry, there is a process in place that was followed. The CIA has a process to look at classified information if it is leaked, and they followed a process, and that process has moved forward, and the Department of Justice is looking into it. I don't know the specific time period, but
that's what I'm asking about. He said that. I want to know what he's done about it. This story broke in July. Did he know in July that an undercover CIA official had been outed, and that the person who outed that undercover CIA
I understand what you're saying, but I think there are certain assumptions you're still making in your remarks. The Department of Justice is looking into this to determine what you're saying about the potential leak of classified information concerning an undercover CIA agent.
Did the president know?
That's what it has told you, Terry. The process is in place, and it followed that process. I don't know, in answer to your first part of your question.
Fair enough. If you could get a chance, if you could establish for us when it came to the president.
Terry, that was back in July, and I just don't know. I looked into it, and I just don't know.
The question Terry Moran was asking here, is that not knowable? That's knowable, right? It's checkable. When did the president know? Huh? And McClellan says, I just don't know. I looked into it. I just don't know. And finally, this gem from October 1st, 2003, with reporter Nora.
Ambassador Wilson says that he was told by a reporter that Carl Rove said, quote, Wilson's wife is fair game. I know you've spoken with Carl. Does he deny that?
I'm sorry?
Does he deny that he ever used those words, Wilson's wife is fair game?
Right. The issue here, and this came up earlier, the issue here is whether or not someone leaked classified information. That is a serious matter, and it should be pursued to the fullest.
You have said previously from the podium that these types of accusations against Carl are quote-unquote ridiculous.
Yeah.
On the very lines that Ambassador Wilson says that Carl used, Wilson's wife is fair game. Carl denied that he said that.
What were the words again? And again, this is the issue here. What is the issue here? Did someone leak classified information? As I said previously, he was not involved, and that allegation is not true in terms of leaking classified information, nor would he condone it.
Well, Scott, any chance you might want to retract that last statement, you half-witted freak? He, Carl Rove, was not involved. And that allegation is not true. And he wouldn't have condoned it. Really? Do you feel like a moron yet, Scott? Huh? No, you don't. Of course you don't. Because what you're counting on is what all of you murderers are counting on. That the American public, there's no way we could remember all the way back to October of 2003 when you stood up there and lied your ass off. Huh? No, of course not. Well, I'm sorry, Scott, but guess what? Everybody and his brother now records what you say, you lying punk. And everything that's come out of your mouth since you took over from Q-Ball has been recorded thousands of times. It's all on the record, Scott. It's all right there. And talk about lying. Have you read any of the spate of articles over the weekend about the new Supreme Court justice? Because even I understand even Hillary Clinton is somebody sent me an email and said even Hillary Clinton says she's going to support the nomination of this guy John Roberts Jr. Huh? Another lying bastard. That's right, lying bastard. That's what he is. He has repeatedly said that he has no memory of belonging to the Federalist Society. That's a group of right-wing thugs who use the law to destroy environmental restrictions and laws in this country to chew this nation up as quickly as they can and destroy it. He has said over and over he has no memory of belonging to the Federalist Society. However, his name appears in the Federalist Society's 1997-1998 Leadership Directory. Good God Almighty! The Washington Post, over the weekend, got a copy of the Federalist Society Lawyers Division Leadership Directory from 1997-1998. It lists John G. Roberts, Jr., then a partner at the law firm Hogan & Hartson, as a member of the steering committee of the organization's Washington's chapter, and it includes his firm's address and telephone number. And this bastard says he has no recollection. He's a liar. Another Bush liar. And this one gets to be a Supreme Court justice.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Listen and learn. This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Hi, my name is Joy, and I'm a mystery shopper. Now, my friends think I have the absolute dream job. Don't get me wrong, it's great, but I tell them there's a little bit of work involved. I have to get out of bed, get dressed, plan out which shops to go to, and evaluate my shopping experience. Well, sure, I get paid to shop, but it's not like I can just sleep in and watch soap operas all day. Now, that would be a dream job.
Have you ever wondered how people get an inside track to become a paid mystery shopper? If you're self-disciplined and self-motivated, there are over 40,000 retail chains looking for mystery shoppers across the country. We work with large retailers, grocery chains, restaurants, and banks who need shoppers to evaluate things like customer service, store cleanliness, and parking. So if you like to shop and have a valid email address, we have assignments available now for men and women 18 years and older. Call 1-800-416-0859 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-800-416-0859. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-800-416-0859.
Big Ed has some big ideas on the Mike 92.1.
Let's not assume that people aren't tired of liars. Look, here's the bottom line. People lie. 25% of the American people think the administration's not upfront with you on this. Most of the country does not believe that the administration is cooperating. It's all lip service.
Straight Talk is progressive talk. Ed Schultz, weekdays at 2 on the Mike 92.1.
How are you doing in this fiscally irresponsible Republican era? Who do you got there, Chris?
Yeah, Mark, this is a little weird. We have you on line one.
Hello?
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Dude, I'm calling from 50 years in the future.
That's possible? Well, cool.
I knew you wouldn't be freaked out about this, man. I mean, you're a visionary.
Well, hey, thanks, man. I never get that. So tell me, how did this happen?
Well, look, time travel, it's hard to explain, so let me simplify it. You know how you get 5 bars on your cell phone? Well, this is the 6th bar, and that's actually all I can tell you without messing up the time-space continuum thing.
All right, well, I'm good with that. That's cool. What's going on, man?
All right, well, this is weird. You know how they said the price of gasoline would go up a penny a day for, like, forever?
Yeah.
It did. Straight on through the fuel riots of 2020, and now a gallon of gas costs about $182.
I knew it. God, that's ridiculous.
Well, not really. Not really, if you think about it. Movie tickets are around $300, but you got to factor in everyone makes about $500K a year now.
Wow. Do we?
We'll talk about that off air. But the gassing, people give it to each other as gifts, man. Married couples register at Texaco. People leave their gas tanks to their grandkids in their wills. It's like diamonds used to be before we learned how to make them out of meat.
What?
Never mind. The point is, gas is very valuable.
So, hey, Future Mark. Hey, buddy, you're breaking up here. What, they haven't fixed cell phone reception yet?
Since the comet hit, the planet slips off its axis every couple of hours. So there's a big shift. Some tidal waves and stuff. Everybody grabs onto something. A couple of species drop. drop out. You get used to it. All right, see? There. It stopped.
All right, so, okay. So now the important stuff. What do I look like 50 years from now?
Well, the good news is the stretch pants are very slimming. I'm just busting your hump, man. Look, we look the same, buddy. Everyone looks great in the future. I had a date with a 73-year-old last night. Smoking hot. Chicks not aging really opens up the whole playing field.
I'm not married anymore.
Oh, yeah, you're married, but you're not dead, buddy. Don't worry, man. After the whole AIDS thing got cured, the whole monogamy thing was like, you know, what's the point? Hey, you know, when scientists disproved the Bible, all that went out the window. Well, listen, I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Okay, talk to you later. That was a weird experience.
You know, you really haven't changed much in 50 years. That's all I can say.
Level of relevance, stirring the senses, stirring sensibilities. The Mike, 92.1, Madison's Progressive Talk.
Gonna last. Success has come to lots of them, and failure's always there. Time waits for no one, and I wish someone would care.
It's about 9 before the hour. And again, we want to welcome WSMB, 1350 AM in New Orleans, the newest member of the Air America Radio family. Listen to some of this music tonight. I want to go to Preservation Hall. Then I want to have some beignets at the Café du Monde. And some chicory coffee, eh? Dana in Wilmington, Delaware, emailed in, Mike, do you ever think that Bush and company would rather us talk about Rovegate and the flagrant violations of international law in going to war with Iraq, as evidenced by the Downing Street memo? After all, Bush can fix Rovegate by simply pardoning the criminals, but he can't fix violating international treaties for which he can be impeached. He may be able to fix Rovegate by pardoning the criminals, Dana, but I think it's fairly clear now that this is more than Karl Rove. This includes the entire upper echelon of the Bush crime family. And this is not separate, Dana, from the illegal war and the murder and the destruction that this filthy group of thugs in the White House have committed. It's not separate. It's all part of a larger piece of criminal activity. The problem here is it's difficult for most of us, myself included, to really be able to get our minds around the so-called big picture. These sons of bitches took us into a war. Tens of thousands of people are dead. An entire country has been absolutely destroyed with depleted uranium weapons. We're about to launch a potential tactical nuclear war against Iran. That's what Cheney is putting out there. I mean, these people are murderers. They're warmongers and killers. So, since it is difficult for me, the average American, to get my mind around what these people have done, break it down for me. Karl Rove did what? Dick Cheney? Louis Libby? They did what? They outed. They revealed the identity. They violated the law. Oh, my God. Now, what's the next step? They violated the law in the run-up to convincing the American public that they had the goods on Saddam and had to go to war. Oh, really? You see how this works, Dana? I'm a citizen of the United States. I can barely think on a political level above the fifth grade. I'm a citizen of the United States. I do not believe that my government would do this. I'm a citizen of the United States. I have a news media that for years has refused to give me information. They have shown me over and over again pictures of Bill Clinton embracing Monica Lewinsky at the rope line, but the sons of bitches will not tell me about the criminal activity perpetrated by the Bush crime family. I am a citizen of the United States, Dana, so I am stupid. I am ignorant. I'm supposed to believe that the Clinton affair with Monica Lewinsky was the worst thing that ever happened to this republic. So you see my problem, Dana? Since I am a citizen of the United States, since I am dumber than mud, since I don't care because Jesus won't solve it all, if you want me to believe and understand that my president is a murderer and a liar, then you have to feed it to me in little tiny pieces. Starting with Butterbutt. Carl Rove. Because I'm an American. I'm a citizen of the United States, Dana. I'm dumber than dog snot. I don't understand any of this! So, no. I don't think the Bush crime family would rather have us talk about this than, say, the Downing Street memo. Because it all ties in together. And if there's one thing Dana, the Bush crime family does understand, is that I and the rest of us, the other 300 million of us, with a few exceptions, that all of us are dumber than dog snot. And we all are victims of a media that makes sure that we are the most entertained and the least informed population in the history of the human race. I hope that answers it for you. Richard Stevenson writes in the Sunday New York Times, quote, regarding Bush, his former Secretary of State, most of his closest aides, and a parade of other senior officials have testified to a grand jury. His political strategist has emerged as a central figure in the case, as has his vice president's chief of staff. His spokesman has taken a pounding for making public statements about the matter that now appear not to be accurate. For all that, it is still not clear what the investigation into the leak of a CIA's operative's identity will mean for President Bush. Well, we can hope for impeachment, can't we? And then removal from office? Can we? Can we still hope in this country?
America Radio.
I'm Mike Rowe. My life's a mess.
You're gonna get really mucky and ucky.
Did you say mucky and ucky?
Yeah.
It's like a giant mixing bowl from hell.
But that is just the way I like it.
That is a very unique smell.
Because I'm the host of Dirty Jobs, Discovery's new series that salutes the unsung heroes who get their hands dirty every day.
You're going to get a little taste of what it's like to be a septic tank technician.
Dirty Jobs.
Guys, thanks a little.
So it's not you?
Premieres tomorrow at 9 on the Discovery Channel.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When you call 1-800-989-4200, you get a real person within seconds, not a 5-minute menu of buttons to push. Here's another old-fashioned idea. My 8-pound Orrick XL vacuums are built to last long after you've thrown the other brands away. Call 1-800-989-4200. I'll send you one to try risk-free for 30 days. Of course, if you'd rather talk to a machine, you can always...
Mornings Edition. Overthrow your morning radio routine.
La, 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 la. New York isn't getting anyone's game. Oh, sorry.
Riley Riffin.
Are they singing the name of the country?
Somebody was getting ready to talk, and they started singing instead of
them. Oddly, this is exactly how they're going to announce the Supreme Court justice for the end of the country, you know, in the beginning of the theocracy.
Mornings Edition from 5 to 8.
On Madison's Progressive Talk.
The Mike 92.1.
This is Mark Riley from Morning Sedition. I'm on The Mike.
Streaming online at themike921.com. WXXM Sun Prairie, Madison.
College. One small word that can add up to big bucks.
Dallas Salisbury is CEO of the Employee Benefit Research Institute.
College isn't cheap, and the cost increases each year. But if you set goals, start early, and take advantage of the tools available, you can pass the tuition test.
Visit www.choosetosave.org.
Plan today and choose to save.
That's choosetosave.org.
CNN Radio News, I'm Michelle Wright. A tragic accident mars the start of the National Boy Scout Jamboree in Virginia. Four scout leaders are dead, a fifth injured, along with a contract worker. Caroline County Sheriff Tony Lippa explains what they think happened.
So setting up the tent, it accidentally struck an overhead power line. As a result, sending the electricity down to those around setting the tent up. Four have been confirmed deceased.
The accident happened at Fort AP Hill, where the jamboree is being held. Boy Scout officials say they're going to go ahead with the event despite the tragedy. $1 million, that's where the reward now stands for the safe return of missing Alabama teen Natalie Holloway. Meanwhile, the family's private investigator, T.J. Ward, says getting information on the case has been made fairly difficult.
For us to come down here and not be able to deal with the police one-on-one or directly, or to get any evidence that they may have, we're hampered on this thing from the beginning.
Also, a gardener has come forward saying he saw the car connected with the case on the night the 18-year-old disappeared. In just a half hour, the Space Shuttle Discovery astronauts will get their wake-up call. Discovery is set to lift off from the Kennedy Space Center shortly after 10:30 Eastern Time Tuesday morning, and that's a welcome news to this local.
I think it's going to be a great thing for the community to get back on and see this good thing for the country, obviously, to get us back in space where we, exploration and all, get us where we were at one point.
NASA still hasn't identified the problem with a fuel sensor, but officials say it shouldn't be a problem with the launch. And the fourth round of the six-party talks is underway at this hour in Beijing, China. The focus of the talks is involving the U.S., China, Japan, Russia, and North and South Korea is the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. This is CNN Radio News.
Which of the following statements is not true? Shopping for music online is fun. Shopping for clothes online is fun. Shopping for car insurance online is fun. What do you mean shopping for car insurance online isn't fun? Go to Geico.com. It's quick, it's easy, and in no time at all, you could save hundreds on your car insurance. Now be honest, what's not fun about that? Geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
It's late and you still can't sleep? So you're about to take Tylenol PM.
Mm-hmm.
Do you also have a headache, backache, or a fever? Then you should take Unisom so you don't over-medicate.
Mm-hmm.
Unisom doesn't have extra pain medicine like Tylenol PM.
Hmm.
Unisom sleep gels have only the medicine you need to fall fast asleep fast.
Hmm.
Learn something new every night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unisom, the go-to-sleep medicine without the extra medicine. Use as directed.
As the mercury continues to rise around the country, Steve O'Brien with the Red Cross says make sure you're drinking lots of water during this heat wave.
You should be doing that throughout the day, especially if you're outside, because that helps your body with its defense.
Temps are expected to be extremely high around most of the nation again on Tuesday. And one California man was so heated by the Supreme Court's eminent domain ruling, he's making an interesting move, explains our Linda Harris.
Logan Darrell Clements of Los Angeles wants to build a luxury hotel, but the libertarian activist and former gubernatorial candidate wants to do that on Supreme Court Justice David Souter's land. Souter is one of five justices who last month ruled that cities can take away private property by eminent domain and hand it over to private development. Clements is now lobbying to seize Souter's farmhouse in New Hampshire, and he's received thousands of letters of support, including those from people who say they will stay at his hotel if it's built. Linda Harris, CNN Radio, Los Angeles.
This is news from CNN Radio. Sony BMG Music is paying out a chunk of change for a modern-day form of payola. And our Gary Baumgarten reports, New York State Attorney General Elliot Spitzer says company execs knew what was going on.
Spitzer produced emails which he says indicate top company executives knew of the payola scheme in which radio stations were directly or indirectly paid to play Sony BMG Music's artist recordings. Sony BMG Music issued a statement acknowledging that some employees engaged in what it called wrong and improper practices.
The $10 million fine Sony will pay will go to nonprofit music education programs. The door is shut on Robbie Krieger and Ray Manzarek. A judge ruled the two must stop using the name of their former band, The Doors, and any likenesses of the late Jim Morrison. The suit was brought by former drummer John Densmore. I'm Michelle Wright. This is the CNN Radio Network.
The Al Franken Show, proving the truth is entertaining.
When he's saying that Karl Rove is someone who's committed to the highest standard of conduct, that's just a laugher.
That's a tell.
I mean, come on. That's like saying, I know my client Pee Wee Herman, and he is the last person who would be found masturbating in a gay porno theater.
The Al Franken Show, weekdays at 11 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, streaming at themike921.com.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi, you can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Always correct, but never right. It's time for Mike Malloy to step up to the mic on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. And thanks to our resident rock star, Jason Isaacs, who's providing us with some New Orleans-style music tonight as we welcome WSMB 1350 AM, the newest Air America Radio affiliate in New Orleans. Matter of fact, rumor has it that our resident rock star may have worked for that station at one time or another. So far, the disclosures about the involvement of Karl Rove, Richard Stevenson writes in the Sunday Times, among others, have not exacted any substantial political price from the Bush administration. And nobody has suggested that the investigation directly implicates the president. Yet Mr. Bush has yet to address some uncomfortable questions that he may not be able to evade indefinitely. Mr. Bush's political opponents say he's in a box. In their view, either Mr. Rove and Mr. Libby kept the president in the dark about their actions, making them appear evasive at a time when Mr. Bush was demanding that his staff cooperate fully with the investigation, or Mr. Rove and Mr. Libby had told the president, and he was not forthcoming in his public statements about his knowledge of their roles. Well, I kind of believe it was the latter. I just do not believe that there's a cabal of giggling murderers in the White House that does not include the chief giggling murderer himself, George W. Bush. I do not believe that this ignorant man who is the President of the United States operates in a vacuum, that for some reason the operatives around him keep him out of the loop. I don't believe that for a second. He may be an ignorant little devil, but he's the leader of this gang of killers. Now, maybe Dick Cheney whispers into his addled, drugged-out, dry-drunk brain half the time, or 90% of the time. Perhaps so. But George Bush suffers from toxic narcissism. And his decision will be the decision, no matter what the subject is. Outing Valerie Plame? Do it! The little weasel would have said. Are you following this this Dick Cheney thing? The Pentagon, acting under instructions from Vice President Dick Cheney's office, has asked the United States Strategic Command to draw up a contingency plan to be employed in response to another 9/11-type terrorist attack on the United States. The plan includes a large-scale air assault on Iran, employing both conventional and tactical nuclear weapons. Within Iran, there are more than 450 major strategic targets, including numerous suspected nuclear weapons program development sites. Many of the targets are hardened or are deep underground and could not be taken out by conventional weapons, hence the nuclear option. This is at Daily Coast today. I'm sorry, Friday. So, if there is another 9/11-style attack on this country, engineered by the Bush crime family, we will probably launch a nuclear assault against Iran. According to Dick Cheney. As in the case of Iraq, it says here, the response is not conditional on Iran actually being involved in the act of terrorism directed against the United States. Several senior Air Force officers involved in the planning are reportedly appalled at the implications of what they are doing, that Iran is being set up for an unprovoked nuclear attack. But no one is prepared to damage his career by posing any objections. Ah, you cowardly bastards. Ah, you cowardly bastards. We are not in a very good, we're not in a very good place tonight, are we, Tersakers, huh? Oh my. I'm pretty much finished with my rant here. Let's do some phone calls. Jeffrey is calling from Kentucky. Jeffrey, welcome to the program, if Jeffrey's still there. Are you there, Jeffrey? Well, I guess not. Let's move on to Philip in San Diego. Philip, welcome to the program. Is... Oh, okay. All right, I'm done. My bad. We're having some little phone problems here. We'll get back to it in just a second. Let me just, because I know you want to talk about some of this. Susan Schmidt wrote in the Washington Post back in June of 2004, quote, Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald and several assistants questioned President Bush for about 70 minutes in the Oval Office yesterday morning. A White House spokesman declined to comment on the substance of the interview, but said Bush, who was accompanied by a private lawyer, was not placed under oath. Cheney was interviewed a few weeks prior to that, though details were even sketchier. David Johnston wrote in the New York Times at the time, quote, Vice President Dick Cheney was recently interviewed by federal prosecutors who asked whether he knew of anyone at the White House who had improperly disclosed the identity of an undercover CIA officer. It is not clear when or where Mr. Cheney was interviewed, but he was not questioned under oath. And according to people officially informed about the case, he has not been asked to appear before the grand jury. How do you question somebody about a criminal investigation that involves acts of treason against the United States and violation of the oath of office of the president and the vice president and not place them under oath? How do you do that? If they're not under oath, their testimony is essentially pointless, not to mention worthless. But there sits Bush with his brace of lawyers. There sits Cheney with his brace of lawyers, and they're not sworn in. Oh, my God. All right, let's see if our phone's working now. Is everything cool now? All right, let's try Philip in San Diego again. Hey, Philip, welcome to the program.
Hiya, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Philip?
Well, we're working now, huh?
Yes, we are. Thanks for your patience.
No problem. Now, like I was saying before, today, you know how you get a song in your head?
A what?
You can't get a song. You can't get out of your head. Today I had just a phrase in my head, major coronary attack. Especially after I caught up over the weekend and took a look at some stories. And one of them I talked about today was good old Dick Cheney, okay? He's leading a White House lobbying effort to block legislation offered by Republican senators that would regulate the detention, treatment, and trial for detainees held by the American military. Now, this was in the New York Times over the weekend.
Yeah, there's also in Saturday's Washington Post the same article, but written from the perspective of the Post, that Cheney's in favor of continuing to torture children. Can you believe this pig, this filthy, filthy pig? Hold on a second. We got a break here. I'll come right back to you, and we'll pick it up here, Philip.
Expert mocking pundits, don't you think that karma waits for you? See how the smile like pigs in a star. See how this night I'm crying. Frost is on a thunder.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
It's not just talk. It's Madison's progressive talk. The Mike 92.1.
It's not that I'm a film snob. It's just that I like intelligent personal films that have unique points of view.
Are you saying there's nothing in the multiplex that interests you?
Find me a multiplex that runs the winners from Sundance or Cannes, and I'll let you know.
Who gets to see those foreign and independent films anyway?
I do. I joined Film Movement.
Film Movement?
It's the DVD of the Month Club for independent and foreign films. I subscribed, and Film Movement sends me an incredible new film every month to own. Their curators select movies from the world's top festivals.
How do you join Film Movement?
I signed up on their website, filmmovement.com. Once a month, I get a DVD with a great feature film plus a bonus short film. It's like free dessert.
Do you want any dessert?
No, thanks. I'll have some of yours. Get something with chocolate.
Well, maybe we can go back to your place for dessert and a Film Movement evening.
Maybe we should plan on eating dessert here. Make it chocolate.
Click on the Film Movement link on airamericaradio.com or go to filmmovement.com to subscribe. Film Movement. Are you a member yet?
Order now via Air America's website or filmmovement.com and receive 20% off your order plus a free Film Movement compilation of award-winning shorts. They're like dessert.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
The best way to help the investigation come to a successful conclusion is for me not to get into discussing it from this podium. I don't think
podium.
That helps.
If it weren't for that podium,
we'd be over and done.
Wait, but this would be done. I'm going to take a pickaxe to that podium.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm not going to address it from this pile of charred wood.
Weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right.
The last time I saw Paul was in the late summer of 2002, about 6 weeks before he died in a plane crash. It was an evening event in the Twin Cities. Paul was in the middle of an intense, dead-even Senate race. He'd been targeted as vulnerable by the National Republican Party, and money was flowing in from around the country for his opponent, a suit named Norm Coleman. Paul was fighting for his political life. The first thing he asked me was, "How's your mom?" I told Paul I had just visited her. It was tough, I said. I couldn't even have a conversation with her. Paul nodded and said, "You know, touch means so much." The next day, I took my mom out into the nursing home garden in her wheelchair. It was a beautiful day. I sat next to her for a couple of hours with my arm around her. I can't tell you whether it meant a thing to her, but it meant a lot to me. So that was Paul. Touch means so much wasn't the kind of thing you'd hear from a Michael Dukakis. I, along with innumerable people, loved Paul Wellstone for what he stood for what he fought for, and for who he was. I loved his wife Sheila, too. I don't think I ever saw Paul without Sheila by his side. Paul died on October 25th, 2002, when his plane went down in northern Minnesota. Sheila, his daughter Marcia, his driver Will McLaughlin, two other close aides, Tom Lapick and Mary McAvoy, and two pilots died with him. 4 days later, C-SPAN, along with almost every Minnesota TV and radio station, carried a hastily put together memorial service for Paul, Sheila, Marcia, Will, Tom, and Mary. I was there. It was a beautiful memorial, sometimes incredibly sad, sometimes funny, sometimes rowdy, and sometimes political. Some people watching on television were offended. Some people were moved. But the right saw an opening. They took moments out of context, lied about the rest, and used it as a political club to attack the Democrats. It won them the Senate in Minnesota and probably in Missouri, which means it gave Republicans control of the Senate.
You can listen online anytime, anywhere. Just go to themike921.com. Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mike 92.1.
Right. 22 past the hour. We're talking with Philip in San Diego. Philip, thanks for holding on. Now, we're talking about Cheney is leading this effort. Three senior Republican members, by the way. It's John Warner, John McCain, and Lindsey Graham. I think they chaired hearings that explored this abuse and interrogation tactics at Guantanamo. And in light of what was played on Randy Rhodes' program today, or the information that she brought out about the further revelations of this horror that we have set up at Abu Ghraib, and here Cheney is advocating more child torture and child rape and child murder. This son of a bitch is sick. This is a sick, degenerate man. I swear to God he is.
Absolutely. I mean, it just turns my stomach. And really what turns my stomach is what, Scotty McClellan, he was asked that question today during that press briefing today.
Yeah.
As well, and the basic answer is, and Cheney's answer in the article was that the legislation.
I'm sorry, you can't say that, Philip. I'm sorry. I understand your sentiment. Don't worry about it. We just had to cut you out and end the phone call. But I understand your sentiment, Philip. I understand. Okay, but. FCC rules and regs disallow us from saying that on the air. All right? But I hear you, Philip. You're absolutely right, and I understand your rage. This pig, this horrible pig, who is the vice president, said the legislation would restrict the suggested legislation that clearly lays out how we are supposed to treat these people that the Bush crime family scoops up any place they want to scoop them up. And three Republicans, they're not even consulting with Democrats. They're trying to get some legislation put together that clearly delineates the treatment. And tries, as my understanding, tries to, since all three of these people, I believe, are veterans, I don't know about Lindsey Graham, but tries to eliminate the torture and the murder that these filthy, filthy, filthy Bush crime family members are perpetrating and ordering the military to perform. And Cheney, says the legislation would restrict Bush's authority to protect Americans from terrorist attack and bring terrorists to justice. You see what they do? You see how they do this? And we stupid Americans, we brain-dead, politically unsavvy, half-witted Americans, hear that or read it and go, yeah, well, I agree. You know, we shouldn't be restricting the president's ability to protect us from terrorism. That's what we say. But both the Times and the Post had articles about this in the past couple, 3 days. So here's Cheney. Is there a sicker, more ghoulish, vampiric thug than Dick Cheney? This guy thrives on death, even more than Bush, apparently. He thrives on torture. And children, torturing children, oh, good. Yeah, some of these little bastards need to be tortured so that, their parents have information that we need to get, and, we need to torture them. I prefer not to call it torture. I call it the president exercising his ability to protect the American people from terrorist attacks and international terrorism. It's collateral damage. Sometimes that happens. But, what these three Republican senators are doing here is terribly misguided. I'm the vice president, and I can tell you that, I see these reports, and, some of these...
Here.
Oh, excuse me. Some of these 10-year-olds are fully capable of,
Here.
Some of these 10-year-olds, are fully capable. Some of these 10-year-olds. Oh, Jesus, I don't know where I am. Oh, God.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. You'll find our talking points in the nonfiction section. This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
SS Republic, carrying a fortune in gold and silver coins, sank nearly 1,700 feet to the bottom of the Atlantic. The ship's precious cargo was lost for almost 140 years. After an extensive deep ocean search, the shipwreck was discovered by Odyssey Marine Exploration. And right now, you can own these collectible coins, bottles, and astonishing artifacts, all carefully recovered and preserved from this historic shipwreck by calling toll-free 800 416-4089 or by visiting shipwreck.net. This is your chance to own a rare part of nautical history. Quantities are extremely scarce, so call today to learn how you can own a piece of valuable treasure. Call 800-416-4089. That's 800-416-4089 or visit shipwreck.net.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I was walking in the park and somebody stopped me and said, I'm tired of taping up the leaks in my old vacuum and then having to buy another one every 2 years. I'm going to buy an Orrick. Friends, why should manufacturers stop making throwaway vacuums when you keep buying them? For a vacuum that lasts and lasts, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and try an 8-pound Orrick XL risk-free for 30 days.
TNT Sunday Night. This summer's hottest action isn't in theaters.
Next loud noise you hear is me.
It's on TNT. Six of the country's best.
I was a fugitive profiler with Naval Intelligence.
Sent undercover to take down 100 of LA's worst.
Well, what do we charge them with?
Murder, mayhem, and pissing me off.
Sunday Night.
You can't do this to me!
Don't miss the all-new original series, Wanted. Every Sunday night at 10, 9 Central on TNT. Viewer discretion advised.
Madison's.
Hi, this is Bob from Mount Horeb, and I'm on the mic, 92.1 FM, because I get the news and information I need quickly, but with no rush.
Madison, you're on the mic, 92.1.
She's fed up with the right.
Aren't you?
The Randy Road Show, here on the mic, 92.1.
A hearing was held on Friday by Senate and House Democrats to examine the impact of the Valerie Plame Karl Rove outing. Why did Democrats hold hearings? Because the president won't. The president is simply unwilling to look at a serious federal crime committed by some of the highest-ranking members of his administration, and it's affecting our national security. Patrick Lang, a retired Army colonel and defense intelligence officer, said, quote, Bush's silence sends a bad signal to foreigners who might be thinking of cooperating with the U.S. on intelligence matters. This says to them that if you decide to cooperate, someone will give you up, so you don't do it. End quote. Larry Johnson, a former CIA analyst who attended the hearing, said, I wouldn't be here this morning if President Bush had done one thing required of him as commander-in-chief, protect and defend the Constitution. Well, it's hard for Bush to protect and defend the Constitution when he's spending all his time protecting and defending the Republican Party and the criminals in it. That's two jobs. And you know what his work ethic is. So when it comes to this administration, the Constitution is just something that gets in his way. Party first, Constitution second, or third, or whenever we get around to thinking about it. And national security, ha. In the Bush White House, you got to get your priorities straight. We're at war. I'm Randy Rhodes, and I'm
Randy Rhodes, weekdays at 5 on the Mike 92.1 and the Mike921.com. Morning's edition. Overthrow your morning radio routine.
I would imagine Scott McClellan right about now doesn't want to have Karl Rove over for dinner because he's ending up being on the grill over this guy, and all he can say is the same stonewalling foolishness, and he knows each and every time he goes before the White House press corps, he's going to get the same questions over and over and over again. Thanks, Carl.
Morning's edition from 5 to 8.
On Madison's Progressive Talk.
The Mike, 92.1.
Here's today's talking point from the official guide to being a good Republican. Talking point number 90. When the old lies don't work anymore, make up some new doozies. Our beloved propaganda minister, Karl Rove, told a convention of true believers that, quote, liberals wanted to offer therapy to 9/11 attackers. Wow! Catch your breath. Even among classic Republican fibs about global warming, weapons of mass destruction, and our cumulative golf scores, Carl has certainly reset the bar. Are we in the presence of greatness or what? Watch now as the pimps and bimbos in the news divisions of mass media drool over the blazing firestorm of controversy between red staters and blue. Watch as cable news splits their screens to show as many uptight talking head experts as humanly possible. And watch very carefully as dead American soldiers, a crushing national debt, an economy about to suffer a home-buying hangover, and televangelists with more legislative power than God get pushed right out of the national spotlight, exactly where Carl wants them. So remember, dear friends, when the truth isn't going your way, just do what Uncle Carl does and give it a little therapy.
Okay.
I got it. Just lie your ass off, no matter how many dead bodies there are. Okay. I'm there.
I used to listen to NPR every morning, and I don't anymore. I just listen to Mark and Mark, and I laugh all the way to work, and they put me in a good mood.
Madison, you're on the mic.
It's about 25 before the hour. Let's go back to the phone calls here. Jerry is calling from Seattle. Jerry, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on. Hey.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
I wanted to ask, I guess, make a comment. There was something that was a little bit... One thing that hasn't really made any sense to me in this whole Carl Rove thing. I mean... Karl Rove is an experienced political operative. He, you know, he can look at you in the face with a smile and flip a knife in between your ribs just as soon as,
right,
you know, call for the check. And he could basically have done anything to Joe Wilson. He could have, you know, he could have circulated that he was a drug addict. He could have said that his wife was an alcoholic, that his marriage was falling apart, that he was wanted for cattle mutilations in Georgia. Why did he pick this particular way to get back at Joe Wilson?
Well, that question's been raised before, and the best answer I can come up with is, you know, why does a dog sit down any chance it gets and lick itself? The answer is because it can. Carl Rove did it this way because he could. You know, after all the years that Carl Rove has worked with George Bush, after all the filth that Carl Rove has gotten away with, you know, this is just an average day for Carl Rove. Rove is the one who went after John McCain in the South Carolina primaries and said that McCain's wife was insane and that he had an African-American child. Rove will do anything that he thinks will win an election or kill his enemies. Now, I believe that Rove knew when he outed Valerie Plame that there were going to be scores of people who would die, because the CIA front organization that Valerie Plame used, and I'm drawing a blank on it right now. I've got the information here. That organization, that company, that fake company has been in business for years. And God only knows how many people have passed through there who were spies or assets, as they are called, for the United States government. So Rove, this is so much bigger to Rove than just Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame. I think he also wanted to get a point across to the CIA that he, Rove, could very easily pull a string and scores of people would be dead, possibly instantly.
So he could have done it in any... He went for the way that would kind of give him a little... You know, he's kind of... I mean, is he that depraved that he's just getting bored?
Oh, I think so. I think Karl Rove, like so many people in the Bush administration, are operating from an amoral stance, these people have some essential parts missing that are required to be a fully actualized human being. And I believe that. I totally believe that. They would smash Jesus Christ's face into the mud in an instant if it felt that it would win them an election. By the same token, they would hold him up as some kind of religious icon if they thought that would win. These people are filthy. These people are beyond anything that this republic has ever experienced. I mean, they make Lee Atwater, Karl Rove makes Lee Atwater, who was Karl Rove's mentor, look almost like a choir boy. These people are murderers, they are killers, they don't care who gets destroyed in the process. And I think the reason Rove did it the way he did was not only to warn the CIA what he could do to them, but also because he thought he could get away with it. It's just hubris. This is what is going to bring these bastards down, is this kind of hubris. Karl Rove is as degenerate as anybody in the Nazi high command in the 30s and 40s, and he will meet the same fate. I will guarantee you that Karl Rove will meet the same fate.
Okay, well...
Now, that's my take on it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense to me. I was trying to think that maybe that operation that he destroyed, CIA operation, was about to uncover something that it would have been inconvenient for to be.
That could be too.
Maybe he was hoping for a twofer here. That
very well could be. Like so many degenerates. Of Karl Rove's ilk. I'm not suggesting he's a stupid man. I think he's very intelligent in a very devious, demonic, satanic sort of way. And God only knows what... Don't forget, the Saudi ambassador was fully apprised of what the Bush crime family was about to do to Iraq before the American public was ever informed, before the shock and awe attack occurred a couple of years ago. And also keep in mind that of the 19 bombers that allegedly came to this country and murdered 3,000 people, 15 of them allegedly were from Saudi Arabia. These sons of bitches are all tied into this thing together, Jerry. It's just utterly and absolutely vile. If you were trying to make up an administration for a so-called Western democracy, like the United States, like Great Britain, like Germany, like France, Italy, Spain, Ireland, if you were trying to make up a government that would be the most hideous and horrendous possible, it would look like this Karl Rove, George Bush, Dick Cheney government that is in the process of utterly and completely destroying this country. That's how bad it is. And that's why, I've been just furious that the American news media hasn't reported the truth on these thugs over the past 5 years. But the truth now is becoming like a huge, festering, pus-filled blister that's about to explode. And hopefully somebody in the news media will have a huge pin and continue to puncture holes in this pus-filled blister that is the Bush crime family until it just erupts all over the place. It'll be a mess, and we'll all stink and have scum all over us. I'm referring to us in America, in the United States. But we'll be able to clean it off, and these people will then be gone, go away. God, I hate them. I just hate them so much, Jerry, I can't even put it into words. Thanks for checking in, pal.
No problem.
All right, thanks. Appreciate your call. God, I hate these people. Jesus, I hate them. The arrogance, and I think that's the best answer to Jerry's question. The arrogance, the hubris, the belief that these pigs are ordained by Satan himself, that they're above the law, below the law. The law doesn't even apply. They can do what they want. They can invade countries. They can torture. They can order the rape and murder of children. You know, when Dick Durbin compared these filthy bastards to the Nazis or the Soviets, I don't think he realized how how close he was. And of course, he's back down. He's, you know, sucked his tail up his rear end and just ran like a scared chicken because a few of these right-wing thugs told him he'd better apologize. What the hell do you call this, then? What do you call what was revealed on Randy Rhodes' program today? What do you call that, if not Nazism? Is it a matter of scale? Is it a question of scale? Because the Nazis were responsible for the execution, the burning, the gassing of 8 million, and we've only been responsible for the murder of maybe 100,000. Is it a question of scale? Is that it? Was Stalin right? One death is a tragedy. A million deaths is a statistic. Is that what? I mean, if it is, it is. Does it matter then to us in this country that we have a government that not only sanctions this sort of behavior, but whose chief legal officer writes memos to authorize it, to say it's okay? And he's now the Attorney General. I got several emails before this program saying to me, "Did you hear Randy Rhodes' program today?" And I said, I emailed back and I said, "A bit of it. I just couldn't stand it. I couldn't listen to it. I'm aware of what's out there. I know what the reports are. I know how the Bush crime family has ordered, in its dictatorial way, that the release of this further evidence of its depraved, satanic criminality should not be passed on to the American public and the rest of the world. I'm aware of that. Yeah, I'm aware of it. These people are going to burn in the hell that they so ardently profess to believe in."
Show on Air America Radio. Madison's progressive talk. Forward thinking, just like Madison. The Mike 92.1.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. By nominating John Roberts to the Supreme Court, the White House thought it could pull another fast one on the American people. After all, Roberts can at least pass as a moderate. But real questions have emerged about his record on human rights, abortion, big business, and the environment. Republicans have gotten worried and started saying that Roberts should blow off serious questions that will come up during confirmation hearings. Republican Senator Orrin Hatch even compared John Roberts to Jesus, saying that questioning Roberts is like, quote-unquote, trying to undermine Jesus Christ. But Democratic senators should not back down. They should insist on complete answers from Roberts. They should demand internal documents that spell out Roberts' own views on issues like abortion and human rights. Let's put the pressure on Roberts to prove he can do a fair job. To read more on the Roberts nomination, visit MotherJones.com. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
The president's spokesperson, Puffy McMoonface, says over and over that I wasn't going to comment on an ongoing investigation. And here in 2003, he said, "I've made it very clear it was a ridiculous suggestion in the first place that Karl Rove was involved. I've said that it's not true, and I've spoken with Karl Rove." That's weird.
Stephanie Miller.
That would seem like he would be not just commenting, but clearing someone.
Yeah. Weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right.
When I do my corporate speeches, I normally talk to groups that are anywhere from 60 to 97% Republican. They know I'm a liberal, and they're normally aware that they're conservative, so sometimes they're a little nervous that I'll do jokes that make them uncomfortable or angry. Here's how I diffuse the situation. I say, "As you can probably figure out from my book, Rush Limbaugh is a Big Fat Idiot, I'm a liberal, and I know you're conservative, and that's okay. See, I've discovered that Democrats can't afford me. Huge laugh. They love this. It makes them feel rich. Then I say, so what I do is I make fun of you, you laugh, and then you pay me. Another huge laugh. Now I can say pretty much anything I want, and they'll just laugh and pay me. Everybody's happy. Democrats are a different story. Unlike corporate events, which, by the way, I love, you can book me on the web, I speak to Democrats for free. I try not to do it too often because, you know, a guy's got to eat. So I pick and choose. And the Democrat I did the most speaking for over the years was Paul Wellstone. Part of it was that I grew up in Minnesota, and Paul knew my folks. In Wellstone's first campaign for the Senate in 1990, my dad was part of a senior citizen theater troupe that did skits for Paul at nursing homes. That's pretty grassroots, don't you think? My dad died in 1993, and my mom went downhill pretty fast. They had been married for 51 years. She got depressed and about 4 years ago went into a severe psychotic depression, which brought with it an exciting element of paranoia. One night at the hospital, I went up to one of the nurses and said, excuse me, it's kind of awkward to ask this, but I feel out of loyalty to my mom that I should. Go ahead, she said. Yeah, what I was wondering is, are you pumping poisonous gas into my mom's room? And are you videotaping her? And are you not really a nurse, but actually an actress who is trying to kill my mom? No, said the kindly nurse. I didn't think so, but I felt I had to ask. Fortunately, the doctors pulled Mom out of it with some miracle drug, but she's never really been the same.
Driving under the influence doesn't just mean alcohol. Many common prescriptions and over-the-counter medications, like some antihistamines and anti-anxiety medications, can also impair your ability to drive safely. For more, visit the National Safety Council at nsc.org.
This is Stephanie Miller. Tune in weekday mornings at 8. It's your voice and your opinions, but it's my show.
On Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mike, 92.1.
In Old Joe's Barroom. On the corner by the square, where the winos hang out at. The drinks went around as usual, 'cause a goodly crowd was standing there.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the usual gang of bandits to put the program together tonight. The program was engineered in New York City by resident rock star Jason Isaac, Colin Tipton, and associate producer David Fizikas. And thanks to Colin for the, or to Jason for the excellent music tonight.